to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
We'll take a call from Bob.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. I found the show completely by accident. And okay. I've been intrigued by the questions and answers. And I thought I'd give you a call.
Okay. What would you like us to answer?
Okay. I've had a condition around my mouth that my doctor diagnosed as something called Toodaloo-ass. And I'm not sure how I got that, but it involves chafing and it gets purple and swelling, I guess, around like where the mustache and chin area would be, not necessarily on the lips.
Is an underlying fungal infection?
I don't know. I don't know what Toodaloo-ass is, actually. If maybe you could tell me more about it.
Well, actually, you know what? I've seen it. And what I think about it is basically, it's not on the corners of the mouth where you have keloses, correct?
No, it's not.
It's on the top.
Yeah.
Do you shave there?
I, with the same razor that I shave my taint with. You think that has anything to do with it? And I borrowed it from Buzz Burbank, who I know has Farfalotus of the blow.
Okay. But, okay. Well, that was an interesting call.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most poppies in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Thanks for listening. Wow, I didn't think I'd have a lot of weekend stuff to talk about, but I do. So get ready. And a lot of it involves people that work here.
Uh-huh. You were socializing.
Yeah, I hate to socialize. I'll get into that in a second and why people should know that I do hate that. When I'm going home Friday night, every year I say this, so just give me 1 second to get it off my chest. Whatever happened to taking your kids, like, into a neighborhood? Hi, Charlie. What can we do for you? Hi, Charlie.
Just passing through.
Just in the middle of, you know, here we go, starting a week of doing the show.
How was your weekend, Charlie?
And I can tell you, it was not great. I saw him on Saturday night.
He hates to socialize more than you.
When he got drunk, he didn't get drunk. No. His wife got, I don't know that she got drunk, but they were at a party and something happened.
Right.
Something happened with them. But I'm on the way home from work on Friday night, which is Halloween.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out, I'm going past this shopping center by where I live, and I'm trying to figure out, well, there must have been some kind of, one of those masks, something's gone bad, because there's like 100 police cars outside. Of course, I'm exaggerating there. In actuality, were 7 to 10 police cars that were outside.
Bill.
And fire trucks. And
outside where?
In the main road out front, the shopping center. And I'm thinking, well, now what has happened? You know, I'm thinking I'm going to call Buzz because I've got a newsmaker.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, there were all these cops and all of this stuff because parents are taking their kids to the strip mall,
right. Yeah,
to go trick or treating.
Yeah, that's a very popular new phenomenon.
That sucks ass. That really sucks ass, and I'm not talking about from my vantage point of having to just have an extra 10 minutes on my ride that I don't care about. But imagine being a kid, you get all dressed up, and then you say, wow, you know, where's the thrill of going house to house when instead you're going from the hair cuttery to the CVS? Yeah.
Well, it is based, of course, on the fear of parents that they don't want to send their kids out into the neighborhood. Because we've become fractured as a society, right?
It just drives me nuts. Mm. The poor kids, Mom, please, can we go to Orange Julius?
No. Oh, I bet they give out full size. Yeah, I'd like to be curious to know if the shop owners that agree to do something like this actually hand out serious candy.
Ding dong. Yeah. Long and Foster Realtors.
I bet a lot of kids got 15% off something.
No.
Rob coupons?
I bet.
Sure,
that
why
wouldn't
not?
Surprise me.
Anyway, it stinks. And you know what else stinks?
What?
Is CBS.
The network?
CBS at 75. I know. I'm speaking to a very small part of the audience now. And
yeah, what about 10 people watch that or what?
Yeah, and I think, two of them are in this room right now, Mike. So when you take Rob and I out of it,
count three.
When I was watching, okay, so you did tune in.
For a little bit.
Yeah. But you missed the best part of the show, and this is what has to do with the radio show, so everybody can think about this, and if perhaps you TiVo'd it, you can go back now and look. If you go to the table with Tom Selleck, the gentleman with the gray hair sitting directly next to Tom Selleck, is the guy who used to be our boss and really still is our boss.
Technically, probably, up the food chain is still our boss.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, long gone are the days when we would be mad about something and he would fly down here to yell at us.
Right.
He would sit us in a room and, you know, he did get on the shuttle.
He's much too big for that now.
That's right. You know, but the guy that we knew back then would fly in from New York and they'd say, listen, he's coming. And then you'd sit down and he'd just yell at you.
But boy, even back then, was it a big time when he'd come down here?
Sure.
And, oh, my God, did you see some tight sphincters? Oh,
so,
yeah.
So last night I'm watching this thing and every once in a while I turn it on and there he is.
It's still strange because we don't think of him as a TV guy as much as a radio guy.
No, and he's got, I mean, it's just funny. Because, yeah, absolutely, because I think at the core of all
you think of him as a radio guy.
And right. Yet he's sitting there next to Tom Selleck.
There he is.
You know, leaning over to get a piece of bread out of and Carol Burnett is passing him the bread.
And pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's Mel, a little weird. Yeah. It's Mel the radio guy. however, you know, the influence of Mel and the fact that he comes from a radio background influences CBS all the way to their 75th anniversary special.
Yes.
Now, this is not from my mouth to God's ears, the truth. They get done with the show. It's the 75 years of CBS, the television network that your parents' parents watched, and it's the I Love Lucy and all this.
Tiffany Network,
they go,
right.
That's it. Thanks for have a great good night. The very first thing they do was they come on to trade out the TVs. Now, I know nobody watches, so I'll have to explain it to you. They're in a giant theater, and in the theater it's like dinner seating, but
right.
they're big, gigantic round tables that have placemats on.
Was it like a ballroom type of thing?
Yeah, and they have placemats. They have gigantic
tablecloths,
yeah, and it looked like they had plates and glasses in front of them.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure they served a meal, but there was, I think, drinks and appetizers.
Probably light hors d'oeuvres, right?
And in the middle of every one of these tables was a flat screen TV.
A triangle of them. Three of them on every table.
Oh. So that the people, the stars of yesterday and today and tomorrow from CBS, as they were sitting at these tables, they wouldn't have to crane their necks to look at a screen. They could see the highlights right there.
Isn't that nice?
So they get done with the show, and it's like they got feeble old Walter Cronkite out there and Mary Tyler Moore and all these people who are, you know, Andy Rooney, Next Stop Death, going, thanks, good night.
I saw Art Linkletter.
CBS at 75.
Flat screen TVs on every table, courtesy Samsung. When you want television, think Samsung.
There you go. They didn't have to pay for those. No.
First thing, and right there, I'm thinking, why am I seeing Nell so much on television? That's why.
Yeah, the flat screen TVs.
That's right.
It's there to influence.
For everybody.
So, anyway, that's just nuts.
It's CBS, Don.
But I'll tell you this also about CBS. There's a guy I know, and he's a friend of mine, and I guess I don't know if he's an acquaintance or a friend, but he's a guy. I see him, and I say hi to him, and we talk. And his son works at CBS News, the real CBS News, right. The real one, the one that's on the Channel 9,
mm-hmm.
and the one out of New York, the national one. And he was telling me that his son has worked his way up. I see this guy every once in a while, and I say, hey, my son got moved to this beat or this beat. My son's doing the Eye on America feature.
So he's on camera.
Yeah, and his son apparently, he said to me, my son was at the Santa Ana Winds out there, we're covering the fires.
Right.
And that I guess his son had done some story, and it's funny to think that it still works at this level, at some level in broadcasting, where there still is, I don't want to say a camaraderie, but maybe a respect. This guy, his son, was excited because he had gotten some spots on the national news, and one day Dan Rather had come down after the broadcast and said to the guy, hey, that was a good piece you did tonight.
There you go, just like broadcast news.
Very so nice. the guy's feeling good about himself, sure. And I'm thinking that that's in radio. I don't know if it was ever there in radio.
No.
But it ain't here now, and I'm pretty sure it ain't in the rest of television anymore. So that's kind of a nice CBS thought. Because when you think of Dan Rather, you think of Kenneth What's the Frequency.
Right. You think of a man that's seriously wrapped so tight he's going to explode.
You know, feeble.
Last night I was thinking a lot about Dan's ears. Did you get a look at his ears? What's
Dan's
with
ears are larger than I've ever seen them.
I mean, they're growing, aren't they?
And did you see any hair?
In the ear? I thought it was straw.
But on some level, it's nice to know that this guy, not everybody thinks he's a schmuck.
Right.
That some of these people that work at CBS, apparently for some reason, still respect him.
I would imagine if you were a broadcast journalist and you'd gotten to that level, that, Dan Rather coming down giving you the nod on a story you did would be a big deal.
Sure.
I'm sure he's just like one of the untouchables over there, that nobody has a lot of contact with him.
And anyway, so this guy whose son it is that's doing this, he's proud of his son, and he tells me about it because he knows I'm loosely associated with broadcasting. And then he said, so is there anything like that in radio? And I said,
what, where somebody comes down and says, good job?
I said no. Never.
No.
I said, absolutely never.
Well, he's comparing something that we would have no frame of reference on.
Right.
You're talking about Dan Rather, this icon of CBS News. There is nobody in radio, certainly in our business, that would come down and, A, say that, and, B, that we were respected enough to care.
Right.
Well, what about, I'll just throw a name out at you, Pat Goss.
When Pat gives us the nod, it's very exciting.
Nice.
Now, there's a guy, now, maybe not nationally known, but he certainly should be. The guy's, he's just super talented.
Right.
and
he's an icon.
We never hear from
B&E
him.
B&E Products.
It's B&G, man.
Is it B&G?
B&G.
That's right, B&E is breaking and entering. I'm Pat Goss, Don and Mike. I thought I'd come downstairs from my office and give you a little nod.
What a great
Bonnie Goss says, great job, too.
Bonnie and I have been enjoying your show. And we'd be as on top of the world.
Sell the car.
For a week.
As this guy's kidding.
Good job, Don and Mike.
I don't want to entertain that question. Change your motor oil every 3,000 miles.
Make sure you do that. Check the rotors. Pat Goss, good job, D&M.
B&G.
B&E, Don.
No, it's B&G.
I like breaking and entering.
So anyway, that's all that I had about CBS. Now, here's more about CBS, because we work for CBS. We talked about this on the show last week, that the lady who works here, Sean Bell, mm-hmm. turned 40 over the weekend.
Yes.
Lordy, Sean Bell is turning 40. Let's celebrate.
Great-looking 40.
Mm-hmm. That's what the invitation says. So I talked about this last week, that I was glad that Buzz was going, that Buzz and Marcia were going, because generally speaking, I'm wired. I don't socialize well with hardly anybody, much less strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad to have somebody else there, right. You know, because and
you're good. You're good in small groups. You like small groups of friends. You enjoy that, correct?
Yeah, sure. But you know, when I get somewhere new, where you know, and I'm trust me, I am definitely going somewhere with this. I'm not like I am on the radio. Okay,
right, exactly.
So
very shy. Actually.
You
hate it.
You would think that people who work around here would know that, but anyway, so we're at this thing. We go to this thing, and Buzz is there, and Marcia's there, and as it turns out, quite a few people from work are there, and it's nice enough, and we're just kind of muddling through this, and I'm
big group. Large group?
About 50 people.
Yeah.
About 50 people in a town hall where they had a nice reception for Shondell. And all at once...
Town hall?
Mm-hmm. It was really at
like
a...
Bedford Falls?
Town hall. Very much like that.
It was at a town hall.
Okay.
It really was.
Really?
Birthday party was.
Well, all right.
So, Mike, right out front it said...
Town hall. It was the town
hall.
Kind of an old colonial, ye old...
Columns
rustic,
and everything, yes.
It was, but it was right across the street from a strip mall shopping center.
Okay.
So it wasn't like ye old with E.
All right.
Ye old.
Okay. I'm just checking.
So it's city hall. Or to town center, whatever
yeah,
it
town
is.
Town hall.
Mm-hmm. Town hall. Thank you, Buzz. I'm standing there minding my own business.
They serve booze?
They had...
Most important question I ever asked.
Well, and just... this will also be relevant. They had a beer, a keg, mm-hmm. kegs of beer, and wine.
Wine, okay. Well, that's all you need.
Beer and wine. So, you know, I'm just having Diet Cokes because, you know, beer's not my bag.
They
baby.
Had soda also.
They had soda. So here's the...
You didn't have anything to drink at all?
No.
Well, where the hell's the fun in that?
Well, Mike, you know, not my party. You know, a lot of people can get off on beer and wine.
Yeah.
I need the harder stuff.
Yeah, me too.
I need the clear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, everybody's having a good time, and I'm having a good time, mm-hmm. and I won't tell you about some of the intimate moments that I had with people that work here, except one. And the woman's name is Teresa.
Teresa!
She's a sales lady. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll preface this by saying that this radio station has about, I don't know, 15, 20, 25 salespeople.
Probably more than that.
You know, depending on what time of the year it is.
Or the day.
And they troll them out here, in and out, you know, like food going through your system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if one of them manages to stick more than 6 months, it's pretty much amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much what they all do is they all work here for a while, then they either get fired or they quit, and they leave and go somewhere else, and then... They end up coming back.
They come back because they realize this was a good place to be, right?
Yeah, and sometimes, well, and they...
Because of this show.
They showed this at Shondell's birthday party. They had, like, a PowerPoint thing on the wall where they had pictures of young Shondell and,
mm-hmm.
and Shondell growing up. And then her career, mm-hmm. which showed that she would, you know, work to WJFK, then would go somewhere else. And then a little arrow would come back to WJFK, and then would go to somewhere else. It would come back to WJFK.
She's been here twice, right?
Three times.
Three times?
Three times.
Wow.
Three times. So you know, all these people are there, and it's nice. But then this lady, Teresa, one of the salespeople, who, frankly, I don't know that well.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's on me, but I don't go out of my way with anybody, salespeople or anybody. Like I'm saying here, I just pretty much come in, we do the show, and then I go home. That's it. I meet with Alan if we got to meet with Alan. But basically, if you see me, I will make eye contact with you. I'll say, hi, how you doing? You know, even if I don't mean it, I'm like that.
Right.
Like most people are.
Right.
And I don't know this woman. She's another one of the many salespeople here that every once in a while I'll see, but I've never actually...
Right.
Beyond hi,
mm-hmm.
which I think I said to her on occasion, I've never had any conversation with her.
Sure.
So she comes up to me, buzzes a witness to
yes,
this.
Yes, I was there.
She says, now maybe it's the beer talking.
Oh.
But I am talking to you, Don. And I looked at her and I said, I see that. She said, I am talking to you. And I said, and? She said, ha ha ha.
What, Mike?
No, I was just
a general. A general hello.
I was actually just, I'm just listening. Let me join this. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, she says, she says, I'm talking to you because it's not allowed. And I said, says who? She said, really? It's not allowed. Listen, you're embarrassing me. This really isn't true. Not to mention the fact that you're saying this to me now in front of all these people. I mean, Buzz is there. My wife's standing there next to me. I said, right. Please tell Teresa, you know, I don't have any kind of a rule. You know, if anything, we've made fun of, like, movie stars that have this thing happen. Mm-hmm. Right? Right. You can't look at me or talk to me. I said,
I'd like to know who implemented that rule and where that rule comes
somebody
from.
Somebody must have, because she's not the first person we've heard it from.
Is it
just him or is it both of us?
Both of you.
That's BS.
I said to her,
the rule just applies to Don.
I said,
thanks for
that's right.
Yeah. So I said to her, listen, I gave her the whole speech. I said, I'm really shy, and my wife will tell you this. My wife's standing next to me during this whole thing, saying, I'm really quite shy, and the people that I know here, like Shondell and Madonna and the other people that I know well, you'll find that I socialize with. It's just I'm shy, and sometimes that comes off as aloof. And she would not. She was like an animal just pouncing, saying, but I'm talking to you, and I'm not allowed to. And I just want to say, I'm a rule breaker. And I'm talking to you.
She's a rebel.
Wow.
Yeah, and meanwhile, by this point, really, I said to her, I'm getting embarrassed now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Teresa, please, you got to stop this. I'm really, because everybody in this little town hall now is turning to look at this.
Right. And so she's being loud?
She's being very loud. So what I'm doing is I'm actually turning with my hand like over my face going, Jesus, I am really embarrassed.
You were visibly embarrassed.
I said, please, stop. I don't have any. Look me in the eye. I got no problem. She said, that's the rule. That's the rule. Nobody talks to you.
I don't think she likes us.
And
no, I don't think that's true.
You know?
No, just the opposite.
But if she likes us?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But maybe she's behaving that way because she does think there's a rule.
But she and apparently other salespeople in the building have been told not to talk with you guys.
By whom?
I don't know who the...
Get to the bottom of this.
Whoever's the boss of the salespeople, I guess.
Yes, we must. We must get to the
I want to find out today. I want to know if, A, there is a rule like that. I'm saying letters a lot. And, B, who it came from.
Because I'm telling you, you want to make for an awkward moment.
Oh, I can imagine at a party.
And we were standing right by the food and the drink, and she was loud and
a certain percentage of that I'm sure was the beer talking, you know. But
you're saying that what she said is based on fact.
Well, if she's not the first salesperson I've heard this from.
Well, see, and since I don't talk to the salespeople,
How would we get to the bottom of this?
Start asking salespeople where they heard it, I guess.
I mean, when it's a rule is like, are you going to let it go? Or
No. Here's what you want to think of. And I asked, and as a matter of fact, Shondell, whose birthday it was, you know, it came over at one point, and I pulled her into this, because I'm desperately trying to get out of this embarrassing situation with this woman who works here and is a salesperson, but I don't really know, and it's not that I've singled her out, that I don't know her, it's just I come in and I do the show. I mean, that's it. If you're around, come up and say hello.
Hi to everybody every day.
I don't get it. I really don't give an S.
I'm not real thrilled with it if that's the rule, though. That's
So I said to Shondell, I said, wow, did you see that thing with the Teresa? She said, yeah. And then somebody else said to Shondell, well, then how come is it that Shondell is a salesperson, yet she's allowed to look us in the eye, and it was me that it was being used as the example. How come Shondell can look you in the eye and can talk to you and get away with it? And then Shondell said, well, I don't know. I guess I was grandfathered in.
Because
I worked with you guys at the other station.
Oh, God.
The grandfather clause. Yeah, apparently.
Well, wait, hold on. Are we being serious here?
Mike, that's why I swear to God I'm using
Buzz.
There's
the grandfather clause.
I'm using Buzz as my witness. Buzz heard all this.
And there are a few rebel salespeople who apparently ignore the rule, who don't care about the rule and talk to you guys anyway.
Wait, is this just is this like social talk or pitching an idea or something like that? I know there's a chain of command. If they want us to do something, they have to go through our producer.
Way that Teresa.
This is like social talk?
The way that Teresa said it to me, her original, just, I mean, finger pointing.
But I mean, she's off the hook if it's all legit.
She said, I am not allowed to talk to you. I am not allowed to look you in the eye. And look at, I'm doing it.
Oh, God.
You know, I was sitting there like.
Could this be a line wand thing?
And now you see what a thrill it is. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, honey, give it up. Yeah, I'm really, I mean, I'd heard jokes. I thought that was always a joke.
And Don was so personally embarrassed by this that eventually he just had to say, I'm very embarrassed. You'll have to excuse me. And he walked away from the finally.
Really? Because it went on.
Well, I'd be embarrassed too, especially if it was loud.
It went on and on. And she wouldn't.
But obviously.
She was like a dog with a chew toy.
If this was the rule, it would bother me if I was a salesperson with a radio station.
Hold on, think about this, though. What does she think? Does she think I'm full of S? If there was a rule.
Well, if there's a rule about us, shouldn't we know about it?
Here's what I'm saying, Mike. If there was a rule that we had endorsed, and she came over and said something, I'd say, hey, don't forget about that rule, baby.
Right.
But when she comes over and says this, and then I look her in the eye, and I say, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no rule.
Right.
And then she won't let it go.
Obviously, it's a rule that somebody passed along.
But if the rule is, how ridiculous is this? If the rule is about us, or in this case, because you weren't with me,
right.
And I'm saying to her, there is no rule.
It's funny is what
then,
it is.
Then yeah. Why doesn't she just let it go? And then I found out.
Well, that was the beer, I think, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, that's why she kept repeating.
You know what? And I really thought she didn't like us. I know Teresa.
Uh-uh.
And I thought she just had a problem with us.
No, I think Teresa likes
everybody.
If that's
the rule, and if somebody gave me that rule, and that was all pent up inside of me, it kind of explains the way she been behaving.
And perhaps others.
What a great rule to have, though, if you had it. And, you know, and we're going to call our agent immediately.
I'd like to find out. Yeah, ask for our contract, sure.
And ask for it. But,
maybe you can get other rules.
But no, we
don't. Anything you want.
That is like... getting this the certain M&Ms taken out of a
right.
bowl of M&Ms.
A little,
that's
yeah.
diva crap.
Anyway, I thought you'd find it interesting.
John, I am upset and I want to get to the bottom of it.
It was a big...
No, and, you know, no one's coming in. No one's volunteering.
No.
Nobody's giving any input.
No,
this is bad. This is very, very bad.
I'm not even to the drinking and the dildos yet.
Oh, my God. Wow, what a party.
And Buzz, who has a new nickname now, his name is MapQuest.
Really?
Yeah, I got so much more to tell you, other than our reputations just being walked all over. Now, speaking of walking,
well, you know,
we are going to walk now. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll most likely leave the studio. And as we do every day, we will walk past Colette, the receptionist.
Mm-hmm. I'll be outside, out in front of the building.
Sure.
And
anybody
that.
Wants to come out and say hi, they can't. Well, you know, honestly, though, we have a pretty good group out there. Don't force it.
Yeah, natural.
I just want to say, keep enforcing whatever rule it is you've been enforcing. Just keep enforcing.
Do you have a theory now on who it might be where this has come from? I mean, if you were to guess.
Well, I heard two names. I heard two names already.
Give me. There is no reason to keep this under wraps.
Well, the two names that I heard were Alan, line one,
mm-hmm.
and...
I'd like to call
Charlie Broyhill's coming in. Oh, finally,
Charlie,
somebody give us a little.
Good.
Charlie knows everything that goes on around here.
What's the other name?
Jeff Hedges.
Well, I heard another name whose initial begins with Julie as well. So it could be her.
Julie Fullman is telling people that?
I think so. But Teresa has told me.
Julie's here. Julie's here today. I saw Julie when we walked in.
Teresa
looked her in the eye and said hello.
Teresa's not here?
She's not here today.
She's not here today.
No.
Well, maybe she's hungover.
Could be.
And I saw Julie. Well, we saw Julie at the same time when we walked.
Julie says hello
through the double doors.
Julie's
today.
Management is it? Right. Is it different for management?
Shouldn't be.
What?
You're aware of this rule?
Teresa had mentioned it to me before. I said,
you didn't buy it, right?
No, I said there's no such rule. There's the signal, but there's no rule.
What's the signal?
That's
waving your fingers.
That's when we're at a party when you need help.
Right.
That's from Larry Sanders.
Yeah, that's a joke. We don't really do that. I really just do like.
Right.
I do, you know, give them a sign.
Don't you think you and I do a decent enough job making people think we're a-holes, where we don't need a little extra leg up?
Mike, I don't think so. Apparently what the staff is telling us here is that, damn it, they still like us,
mm-hmm.
and they think that there's still room for us to improve somehow on being a-holes, and being as we're not going out of our way to do it,
they'll put a few rules that'll make us really look like a-holes.
They're going to help us. Okay, so
I chalk this up to a misinterpretation of the chain of command that Mike mentioned before. If you've got business, there are channels you're supposed to go through, and I think that rule has become misinterpreted that you can't even say hi.
I think you're being kind. I think this sounds like a different rule that maybe
I don't talk to them. Let's find out.
As someone who spends 100% of my time with me,
right.
and I do spend every second of every day with me, it's no great treat. It's nothing that... Trust me, it's nothing you need to have a rule for. I'm not
people can't talk to you?
Yeah, you're not missing anything. I mean, if you want to, go ahead. I'll talk to you. What the hell? But I'm frankly not that. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't like that.
It's not that I don't like it. It's that I. What do I bring to the conversation?
Ours? We have festive.
Well, no. You and I. This is different. We're talking about in real life now.
Right. Strangers.
Yeah.
See, which I'm, most of the salespeople are
right.
Strangers.
Right.
It's all, not the way.
All of them.
Wait a minute.
Dead men walking.
Hold on a second. It's different. You know, this is going to stop, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Good. Because I'll tell you why. Because when we used to work at the other place.
Good. Well, you do it because I don't want to talk to these people.
Way back when we worked at the other place.
Hueva.
It was great. You got to know, and you know what? We're missing out on material here. We don't know the quirks and some of the weirdisms of some of these new people. They might be borderline psychotics, like some of the great salespeople we've had before.
Like Teresa. Tiny Teresa, she will be known on this show.
I thought Teresa didn't like you and didn't like me. And now, if there was this rule and she was adhering to it.
How would a guy on the phone know this? He says it was in a memo.
I hate to go back to the past, so I know you don't like it.
That's all right, Mike.
I remember something a couple months ago where you had Tim McWilliams in the studio, and it was some memo about disturbing on-air talent.
That's right. Mm-hmm. No, but listen, hold on.
No, that's right. That's what Tim was bitching about.
But here's the or maybe he was.
That's bitching. Probably where it came from, and we didn't know anything about it.
And Tim told me at the time that he had been told that salespeople were a lower class around here than on-air people.
You know what? A lot of S is starting to really make sense. Yeah.
Well, I don't get it. I still don't get it. I remember that day that we read the memo from Tim, or the email from Tim, that he was mad.
You know what, really? I'm sorry. This is pissing me off now that I'm thinking about it. Because the fact is...
Hello, John.
It used to be a lot more fun.
John.
I remember when you had all the sales guys coming in, and I thought it was Ken Stevens didn't want anybody coming into the studio.
Yeah, but see, what we're not talking about salespeople coming into the studio. This broad's coming up to me at a party and saying... In real time, in real life, not on the radio, that she's not allowed.
I'm going back into the cubicle back there. I'm going to stand on a desk and make an announcement.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Do I have your blessing to do that?
No, not yet.
I'm not sure if I want
come
to comment.
On. You comment only on your own.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You're 50%.
I know you're connected. You are connected.
I don't know.
I'm going to say they can talk to either one of us.
Okay.
Isn't it good? We have gotten material out of this over the years.
No. Before you do that, see, what you're doing is like you're accepting some kind of blame. They should know. Hey, listen, they have friggin' radios. We're on in this building. They hear us saying this. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have to go around to Pied Piper and say you can speak to us, but if you'd like to investigate to see where the memo, the rule came from. Now, why are you rolling your eyes now?
I'm not sure I want to put the effort forward.
That's
you know, because really, at the end of the day, it's still, you know, what it is. And there are a lot of new people there, but I mean, it's the way it always shakes out is the new people have their little quirks and their little deals, and we get to know them. And we used to know every single salesperson that worked in the building. At Hueva, we knew everybody that worked there.
Here's the thing. That was back
in the day. We didn't like them all, but we knew them all.
That was back in the day before it was what it is now, which is big business. You would have 10 people that would sell the radio station and sell your show, and those 10 people would stay there for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Now they're coming in and out like Jennifer Lopez and her fiancés. You know, they're fast.
All the time, fast.
Come on, don't let this get you down now.
It's not getting me down, but if it's even remotely true,
come on,
it is slightly disturbing.
I only bring it to your attention.
It makes us seem like, oh, don't talk to us.
Yeah,
God almighty.
Come on, it's funny. Why not mention
it? It is funny.
Why not mention it on the radio?
You know what the deal is here? He wants the rule to stay in place.
Be careful what you wish for.
No, I really don't. I really don't, because I'm telling you.
You're sounding like it.
No, I'm telling you. What you're hearing talk now is the not the booze. It is the embarrassment that I felt on Saturday night.
Okay, I probably feel I would want to low key the whole situation.
But it's like, you know, I've walked in, I've met Shondell's mother and father and all these other people. I've chatted with them, and all of a sudden, with all of them within like plain sight, boom! I'm not allowed to talk to you. There's a rule. Don't make eye contact.
Right. And look what... And if that rule was implemented, look what it made happen. It made that happen at a party. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm even mad at anybody making the rule up. But whoever made the rule up, if they think we wanted it, that's ridiculous.
What a funny place.
It is really...
I would like that rule with Alan Leinwand and Michael Hughes.
Everybody else is free?
Yeah, but I'd love that with Alan and Michael, the guys who are the management here.
Right.
Love that. Really. No looking, no talking.
I swear to God, though, it's making sense to me now.
What is?
The whole deal. I was thinking that it's just not the way it used to be, that these people just behave differently.
Well, listen, hold on. And we got to do a break here. But I just want to say, with no offense to these people who may become future friends.
maybe.
Really, well, based on what I'm going to say, Rob, how stupid are you? Really, if somebody said to me, oh, listen, here, you're working here, but do not make eye contact with this person or do not speak to this person. Even if I was working somewhere, if I'm working on the David Letterman show or Saturday Night Live, and they say, and I'm just a peon intern, and they say, listen, whatever you do, don't look Will Ferrell in the eye or don't. I would, if I saw him coming down the hall, I'd look him in the eye.
Hey, a-hole.
Brian,
you know, how you doing?
Right, listen to this. This is from Larry Sanders.
Marty, I'd like you to meet Brian. He's substituting for Darlene while she's on vacation.
Oh, welcome to our little family, Brian. Little tip, don't speak to Larry unless he speaks to you. Have fun, my boy. Nice suit.
Like that.
See, that's a TV show, though.
Right.
This is real. Okay, we're gonna break.
Williams just went down the hallway. I don't know why. He didn't want to look in here.
No. And that started another thing with Teresa that I did say, well, I do enforce the rule about not stopping at the window.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And she said, why is that? I said, well, because a lot of times we're in the middle of doing something and we're on a delay, and what you don't hear what we say for like 16 seconds, and if you're moving like clients and stuff by...
We always feel like trained pandas when somebody's at the window.
Just keep them moving by. So the window thing is totally different.
Yeah,
and you just saw Tim, one of the sales guys, walk by a moment ago. All right, well, Mike, go find out everything you can during this commercial set.
No time, Don. Got to go out for a smoke break.
Oh, come on. All right, well, then chat with the guys in the cancer corner.
Okay.
I'll find out. See what's happening.
I'll do a recon.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ooh. It's time to get rid of those scary old phones. Switch to Singular and treat yourself to a new phone.
Ooh, very scary. Get the Sony Ericsson T226 free after a $20 mail-in rebate, Don.
And you know who likes this phone, Mike, who endorses this phone?
Who?
Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
She says the Sony Ericsson T226 takes pictures and emails them instantly, and it's wireless, internet capable.
You'll love the picture caller ID and the downloadable polyphonic ringtones. I only had that one.
But don't use it to call us.
No, please, and no eye contact.
Yeah, and on the picture phone, no eye contact. It sure does, Mike.
It sure does.
You want a calling plan for the whole family? You can keep connected with a family talk plan.
You can add a line to your calling plan for $9.99 per line per month on plans starting at just $39.99. Pay no roaming and no long distance. How about that, salespeople?
Singular has what you want. Switch to Singular right now. Tell them Don and Mike sent ye.
Certain restrictions apply. If you have any Singular wireless, store for details. Ooh, scary commercial.
Why, it's great.
WJFK.
Who don't you talk to?
The Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's up, Don? How you doing? The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Thank you, Dude Walker. I want to mention later this week we're giving away WWE Survivor Series, a trip to Dallas for WWE Survivor. That's from Comcast and Cox Cable. In-demand pay-per-view. A trip to Dallas Sunday on November 16th. We'll give it away later this week, courtesy of the WWE. Okay, what did you find out outside of Cancer Corner?
Just a couple of things. Got a little recon. Talked to a couple of people. Talked to the party girl, Shondell, who celebrated the birthday over the weekend.
Right.
Talked to Jeff Hedges, who is one of the managers here.
Right.
They both had the same kind of story, which is this policy stemmed from a regular policy of salespeople aren't supposed to approach us with any promotions. They're supposed to go through the channels like of the producer to do that. Mm-hmm. And what both of them said was that they think that's what this came out of, mm-hmm. that this was interpreted perhaps by other salespeople to be don't talk to them at all.
Okay, but how does something like that, which incidentally I don't think only applies...
Got a little insight on that too, Teresa.
Into us, it don't only apply to everybody here. They put a sign on the door that doesn't just say us, that just says salespeople don't talk to disc jockeys, right. About promotions and stuff.
Which is fine, and that's the way it is at many radio stations.
So you're finding Teresa the guilty party at this point?
You know, I just haven't gotten any information that there's really nobody that is claiming that there's been an edict about just not even talking to us socially. And both Shondell and Jeff kind of echoed the same type of sentiment.
Alan, Don, and Mike.
What a ridiculous policy that is.
No, come on, Alan. No BS. You're on the air. You know that, of course.
Yeah, of course. So, you just told me.
So here you are. Although I don't have to tell you because, you work here. And I'm calling inside the building, so I get a free pass on that. What is this? This lady, Teresa, really, I'm at Shondell's party. It's another saleswoman. How could she invite me to her birthday party when she's not allowed to look or speak to me?
Yeah, I think they've taken things way too literally.
Alan, what was the original rule?
Well, I think the original rule, I don't know if it was Mike or you who just mentioned it, but the original rule was any promotion or anything to do with a client, go through producers. You can't talk to the talent directly.
And that's not only for us, right? Isn't that for Ron and Fez and everybody?
Yeah, everybody.
Pat Goss, Bonnie Goss.
Yeah, everybody.
Larry Michael, the whole stable of JFK.
Larry Michael!
The whole shooting match, right.
So anyway, Jitters, listen, how does this work that it goes from, which is incidentally the way it's done at most radio stations, that the salespeople aren't allowed to go to the disc jockeys because the disc jockeys, we're dumb. And here's why they don't want us coming to us, because they'll come and they say, hey, would you want to give away something on your show? And you go, I don't know. And then they go, well, listen, here's a free car battery for you.
Exactly.
If you give away these car batteries. And then you go, well, a new car battery?
Sure.
Sure, I'll take it.
Right.
And then before you know it, they go in and they go, we talked to Don and Mike, and they're okay with this promotion, giving away car batteries.
And then the little fine print is, you're going to have to use this car battery for the rest of your life.
So they say don't talk to us about that.
It protects you guys.
But Alan, really, what about this other stuff? Don't make eye contact.
You know what? I think they're just scared of you. I have no idea where that came
from. Well, Alan, nobody has any reason to be scared of anybody here. And I'm really, I'm troubled by this on a real level because I'm really not a dick. I'm just quiet and if you want to come up and talk to me, I'd be glad to talk to you. And having said that, I would like Teresa fired. Immediately.
Why don't you call the sales manager?
Immediately.
May I make a statement too, Alan? I know that in the previous break I was a little demonstrative about my feelings about this rule, if it did exist, that really we shouldn't have that. But being in the business for as long as I have, I think it's all well and good that rule should not be in place. But I just like to tell the salespeople, let's not get happy.
Yeah, just don't bother you too much, right?
I was happy as a clam. I didn't know that all these people had had all this resentment.
You thought they were just avoiding you.
No, here's
the thing. I think you guys don't like them, but... I try to tell them it's not true.
Okay, here's the thing.
Tell them what great guys you are.
But Alan, who cares if we like... Why do we even have to... Okay. First, who cares if we like them or not, and who cares if they like us or not? Second, we work on different schedules. We're here doing the show. They're out selling the show to advertisers.
Right?
Correct.
Listen, I don't like meeting with you.
I know.
And you're the top of the food chain.
I don't like meeting with you either, right?
Okay, well then... Listen, we're all in agreement with the exception of, I think generally, and as I mentioned, if they really got to know me, I don't think they'd want to be my friend anyway. I'm not an exciting, get-it-done guy. I'm very quiet. I'm very boring. I like just being by myself, being with my wife. That's it. So
where do I fit into this?
Well, Mike, I was the one that was attacked. I was the one that had the verbal scars on this.
Right.
I'm sorry. Where are you on this?
Where do you want me on this? Is it all going to change now? Is it going to go back to the way it used to be?
I never thought it had changed.
Right.
I mean, what's the friggin' crime in me saying what I think most of them really think? I mean, it goes both ways. If I think you're interesting, I guess I'd like to be your friend. If I think you're just another schmuck that works here, you're just another schmuck that works here, and I'll say hi to you and nod my head to be polite. But hey, listen, isn't that what we all do?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we all fake being nice with each other when we're at work, no matter what job we're at?
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
It's not ass-kissing. It's just like, hi, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. If I want any more, I'll ask you a question. And then conversely, if you do, ask me a question. But don't be offended when I say that I'm pretty sure that, you know, most of you just wouldn't make the cut. In my very small selective group of people
right.
who I think can tolerate me, you wouldn't make the cut.
And I think that if there's any kind of requirement to memorize names and to know names...
Mm.
We'd all be in trouble.
Yeah,
right
we're screwed.
Now.
Yeah, right. So, Alan, what are you going to do about this? Because here we are now. We are unhappy.
Well, I think you've just handled it for everybody. I think you've just set the record straight.
And
well, if you could pass that along, I think I would appreciate it.
You want a memo?
Would you please put a memo out? I'm very serious to say that there is no memo saying that you don't have that. You know, there's no eye contact thing.
So you want a memo speaking to the fact that it's okay to have eye contact with Donna Mike?
I think the memo would read something along the lines of, we realize there is a policy not to approach talent about promotions or sales events, but as far as you know, approaching talent, anytime anybody wants to say anything, it's you know, fine.
I'll get that message through.
Okay.
Right. Oh, would you put it in a memo, please?
Can you write a creative memo?
Please?
Yeah, I can't do it this afternoon, but I will do it for you.
Can't you delegate it to
Alan? I tell you what.
Okay, I'll go talk to Julie. I'll have Julie do it.
I tell you what, here's the deal. The race is on, because I bet that I could get the memo out faster than you could. If I put a memo out just saying, from Don and Mike,
mm-hmm.
we will sign off on it. Buzz, you ready to get this?
Sure.
To staff from Lord Don, Lord Mike. Hello, peons. You may speak to either Don or Mike
on any non-radio related topic.
Got it.
And ring kissing is also encouraged.
And then put in parentheses, that's just for Mike.
Got it.
Who's writing it now?
Got it.
Then another P.S.
Mm-hmm.
Don's not that great to be around anyway. What are you missing? You're not missing anything.
You're not missing anything? You'd like
yeah.
that in there?
Okay. Yeah, I'd like that.
Done.
You got that? You got anything else, Mike?
No, I'm out.
Robbie, you got a message you need? Because we'll get this memo out, put it in everybody's boxes ASAP.
No, I think it's...
All right, Buzz, would you read that back, please?
Yes, it's to staff from Lord Don and Lord Mike. Hello, peons. You may speak to either Don or Mike on any non-radio-related topic. And ring-kissing is also encouraged. That's just for Mike. P.S., Don's not that great to be around anyway. You're not missing anything.
I like that.
And then we'll sign it.
Julie and Teresa are on the warm line, and I just wanted to weigh in. Alan, great appearance on the show.
All right, there
I'm
he
sorry,
is.
Was that you, Mike?
There he is, the jitterbug. Mm-hmm. Everybody, the jitterbug. Alan, good.
Oh,
wow. Line one.
That was actually a Freudian compliment you
All right.
gave him.
Goodbye, Al.
All right, see you guys.
Alan. All right, now joining us, Julie, the sales manager lady, and Teresa, the lady from Saturday Night.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi, girls.
It's actually just me and Teresa's right next to me.
Yeah. Well, we've put out a memo, and I think all problems will be solved when you get the memo that we've just put out.
Is Teresa afraid to come on the show?
No, actually, she wanted to say hi, so she's right here.
All right, is that allowed?
Hi.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
Hi.
Don, I just want to tell you how great it was talking to you the other night.
Great talking to you, too. Great being talked to, I should say.
Yeah, I know. It was talked to. It was a little bit of the beer.
Teresa, so now that it's not the beer, who really told you this ridiculous rule? Because I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't accept it from me. Who told you there was such a ridiculous rule?
Well, you know, I've been in the business a really long time, and it was like urban legend. And then I got here, and then I just...
You what? What?
It was just understood in the sales department, and then Charlie told me that he protects you from all of us.
Okay.
So then I was like, okay, well, then I won't look at them, and I won't talk to them.
So this all came from you.
Hold on. And then the whole looking and talking thing.
It came from you.
You're the bad one.
Me?
It's your fault.
You. We've
Me?
Just, we have
I'm not
just,
bad.
No, we have,
That's right.
We have just...
No, I'm not bad.
We have just heard a confession. It's that this...
Oh, me? I am not agreeing to anything. This, I am not bad.
You just said it.
Well, no, I did not.
Hoping she was.
This stems from you.
It does not.
It does. Teresa, you
no,
just, you
no,
just
I
said
am
yourself.
Good.
You
I
just said...
To talk to you. No, I am not bad.
No, you just said... And imagine... Can you imagine this brought a couple of beers in her? And I'm guessing you're sober now.
Buzz, I need a P.S. on the end of the memo,
okay.
If you don't mind,
all right.
Okay?
All right.
No, all right. No, and P.S. Teresa can't talk to you.
P.S.S., no? All right. This applies PPS. To all salespeople except Teresa.
No, I...
Rob,
no,
would no, you get the other line that's ringing, line 7?
No, I'll keep talking to you.
Hello?
No, I like talking to you.
Now, Teresa, we're just trying to get to the bottom of this, you see.
Who is that, Robbie?
That's Wendell Hall.
Oh, Wendell.
Great. Hold on a second.
I'm going to put Wendell on.
Here is our engineer, Wendell Hall. Hey, Smoot.
Hey, how you doing, Smoot?
Hey, dumbass.
Hey.
Hey, Wendell, you know, when you instant messaged me the other day,
yeah.
I didn't mean to be curt. It's just when I saw the thing come up and it said, hey, dumbass, and, you know, I never recognized...
So many issues to take care of.
I never recognized your handle, so I just... turned off the AOL, and then when it turned off, I saw you had written, it's me, Wendell. So maybe in the future, if you would write, hey, it's me, Wendell, then write, hey, dumbass,
right.
I could write back to you, hey, dumbass.
Well, that was the only way I could get to insult you.
Well, Wendell, you can insult me anytime.
No, I'm not allowed. It's not just sales, man.
Now, Wendell, come on now. What are you saying?
Take a look down at the mic 4 module, Don. See how the lettering is spaced different? Didn't used to say mic 4. It said something else. It was for you. Because I was going to jerk your chain, that made me change it.
Why, you mean the button, the yellow button that says Mic 4?
No, where the board is labeled Mic 4, the LEDs there.
Oh, I see. Well, what did you want it to say?
Well, first off, I was going to put in, because you remember the whole Mic 4 contretemps?
The what?
The Mic 4 problem.
Yeah. Been on for a couple days.
Mic's microphone.
Right.
Microphone number 4, right.
Yeah. But I couldn't get to it, and it was a whole...
Right, so what
deal.
What
does this have to do with
Wendell? Wendell, it was a bit on the show, but what did you want to put on the microphone thing?
Oh, I wanted to jerk your chain. I wanted to put FU dot in there.
Right.
As the label for that.
That's Wendell, that's fine. I wouldn't have had a problem with that.
They made me change it. And then I put NRA forever. They made me change that. Now it says Mic 4. So it's not just sales, man. You guys are coming off as ogres.
We're coming off as ogres, and how do we combat this, Wendell?
Excuse me,
the way to do it.
We're coming off as ogres. How? What have we done to be ogreish to you, Wendell?
No. It's not you doing it. It's people trying to protect you, trying to help you, I guess, in some way. But
you've never gotten an edict about no contact, right?
About no contact? No. But about that, I thought that was really strange. The board.
That they didn't want you to label something that was going to be in here
That would say FU to me.
Yeah,
just because I had the audacity to mention that for something like 5 days in a row, a microphone was broken. You know, because I had the balls to do that. Yeah, shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on me.
Well, I don't know if we've made any headway.
And you know that I ain't mad at you for that.
Wendell, are you still on vacation?
No, I'm back. I've got this Larry Michael remote to set up tonight.
Okay. All right.
War veteran Larry Michael.
There you go.
Well, enjoy it tonight. Thanks, Wendell.
Sure thing.
Bye-bye. I'm not really sure what that was about.
I thought he might still be on vacation.
I think he's on his way to the site. Girls?
Hello?
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
So, Teresa, I'm just trying to get all the facts because I wasn't there. And it sounds to me like this was what you said to Don was coming.
It could have been Deborah Dean.
Okay. All right,
now they're all doing...
Yeah. Now they're not... She's not easy to communicate with.
Here's the thing. I think that, first off... Wendell Hall. Let's deal with my friend Wendell Hall,
mm-hmm.
our engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Wendell takes it very personally if I mention something's broken in here. You know, I'm
very, very upset.
I don't know how many times to hold his hand and say, if I was mad at Wendell Hall the person, mm-hmm. I'd say Wendell Hall the person. It's like if something's broken 4 days in a row, 5 days in a row, a major piece of equipment in
right.
the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, part of me is pissed off, but it's funny too. It's mm-hmm. just funny this place is always broken.
And it's also funny that Wendell takes it personally when we talk about engineering. He takes it very personally, and his reactions I find hysterical.
So Wendell wanted to put FU to me on the microphone when the microphone was finally fixed. And then
and somebody said no.
Somebody said no. And what's, Mike, what's wrong with that?
I don't think anything's wrong with that.
What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?
I am dead serious.
Here's the bottom line. Just fix the friggin' whatever it is, Wendell or whoever.
Right.
Just fix the friggin', like, you know, Fat Tony. The guy that walked by the window the other day when we were screaming about this. The engineer that was
Tony.
All pissed off.
Tony was very nice, yes.
Well, he reminds me of the guy on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
You know Fat Tony on The Simpsons,
right.
The mobster guy.
Exactly, exactly.
All right. Well, it's like everything's broken in here. The monitor's broken,
mm-hmm.
and he walks by, you know, with a hangdog look,
yep.
looking right in there like, oh, you've wounded me. Oh, I'm hurt. Well, listen, all you guys, if you're really that hurt, just fix it.
Just fix it.
Just fix it.
All right, that takes care of that part.
So, Wendell, and none of this is directed at you, Wendell, my sweet.
My sweet. My pet.
Please.
My pet, Wendell.
Please, Wendell. Please. Anyway, girls...
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
All right, well, listen.
You're clueless. I'm sorry. You're clueless. I'll say it. He won't.
What?
You are clueless.
I am not.
You are.
No,
that is so not true. I'm not
clueless. You are.
Clueless.
You are. I've worked with people like this 18 years.
Wait a second.
No,
step up.
I'm not clueless.
You are, Teresa. No. You're clueless.
How nice it is for once not to be the one to say it. Thank you.
Sorry.
No,
I don't make many enemies in the building. You know, if you don't like me because I'm saying that, but come on. Get with the program. We're not like that.
Does anybody smell smoke? Because I'll tell you what we're doing today. We are burning bridges today.
All right.
Oh, hey, guess what? Okay, you can think whatever you want. I'm not clueless, and I am not stupid.
That's right.
Who called you stupid?
That's what I heard in my little earphone on the cell phone.
This is in your little earphone on the cell phone? This is like the conversation the other night, honey.
You're not listening, Teresa.
Nobody called you stupid.
That's what I hear out here.
What?
I'm out in Shirlington. That's what I'm hearing.
Buzz, you're
Buzz, can you intervene? I can't talk to this
woman. Yeah, she's saying stupid because earlier you heard her say that even if there was such a rule, don't talk to Don and Mike, don't have eye contact with them, that anyone who obeyed that rule would be stupid. That if you were in that situation, you would disobey the rule. And that's where she, I guess, secondhand heard the word stupid.
Well, then I'm sorry. Then that this will be my second penalty against you. Then you were stupid twice if you didn't get... The first time when I said, if you followed a rule like that, you were stupid, then you should know certainly the second time when I said great talking to you.
Okay, hey, it's great talking to you. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks for making my night Saturday night.
Oh, you didn't make right
it,
back at
you. You didn't make it too awkward for me there, you know, with all those people standing there. You know, I'm just trying to mind my own business.
And don't spread rumors around this building that we're like that, because we're not.
You can say whatever you want, but you don't know me, so you don't know me well enough to say anything about me. So what's with this coming up to me at the, you know, come on, honey. Jesus Christ, that's embarrassing. There were the people there. My wife was standing there.
You on the line still?
Oh, yeah, I'm just listening.
Yeah, well, any response?
I'm just listening, and I just said hi to you. And I said, hi, I wanted to introduce myself outside the office. So I did, and I'm so glad that I broke the ice.
Yeah, but you didn't do it just like that, Teresa. I mean, you didn't come up and just say hi. I wanted to say hi to you outside the office. You did.
But maybe I had a few beers in me.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how would you respond to that?
That I can't handle my liquor?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Oh no! That's a definite.
That's a definite that you can't handle your liquor.
Oh no! That's true. Two beers. That's it.
See you at the Christmas party.
Oh yeah! Right, see you at the Christmas party.
All right. We'll see you there.
Okay, bye.
Hope not.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Bye-bye.
That went Jesus. Well.
Yeah, I thought that went really well.
You know, we used to have a tombstone in the lobby. I'd like a new granite engraving that just says...
I'm sorry. You dealt with that, and you dealt with that with a few beers? I can imagine you went nuts.
And I was just drinking Diet Coke.
Wow.
All we need is a plaque out front that says, this is a funny place.
John Norman has a sign.
That said what? I can say.
But I mean, we've said it for years.
What's now? See,
I think we've stepped into something.
Okay,
I think I know where maybe the problem is.
Here's the thing. Oh, Mike, our memo is out, incidentally.
Okay.
Our memo to staff from King Don and King Mike.
Oh, very good.
Ari the Rule.
That's the rule.
So it's out. There it is. Hello, peons. You may speak to either Don or Mike on any non-related radio topic, on any non-radio related topics. Ring kissing is allowed. That this is just for Mike. P.S. Don is not that great. You're not missing anything. P.P.S. This applies to all salespeople except Teresa.
Very good.
And as you can see, it's out. There's the memo. It's
there you
in
go.
Everybody's
sure.
Mailbox. We got the press release out.
This is a funny place.
It is a funny place.
Okay, hold on. We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Traffic southbound on 95 tied up by a wreck in Newington. That's along the left side of the roadway. Beltway north of town is very slow from before the 270 exit into Bethesda. Brought to you by Zips Dry Cleaners. Any garment dry clean, $1.75. Laundered shirts, 99 cents. The best part, ready by 5, open till 8. Zips Dry Cleaners, Fredericksburg, Falls Church, or log on to 321zips.com for locations nearby. I'm Shondell Riddle for the Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
Look, I'm not back in 10 minutes. They call the cops. Standard operating procedure.
Here's some standard operating procedure. Stay the f*** away from Tony Soprano. Shut the f*** up and listen. It's over. Capisce? Over and done. You call or go anywhere near him or his family, and they'll be scraping your nipples off these fine leather seats.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Bow to their capricious whims, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, now listen, we're going to continue with the weekend stuff here because there's more than just Nutty Teresa. Also, if anybody in Sacramento happened to watch the Kings game on Friday night, we'd be curious to know, we have people who are going to go to the game to count how many times the incredibly pussy-whipped Doug Christie waved to his wife in
right.
the stands.
Right. Exactly.
He's another guy. Now, his wife has got the rule.
Yeah.
He's not allowed
mm-hmm.
to look at other ladies.
Or it might just be us pulling it out of thin air.
Yeah, maybe.
Now I don't know, you know.
Maybe it's just us making it up.
Yeah.
Because that's how things are going around.
That's right.
Here. But if you've got the answer on that, love to hear it.
Right.
Okay, so I go through the scene with Teresa mm-hmm. at Shondell's party.
Right.
And we make it through that. And how did things go during the break for you this time? Because I know that I was in here, but you left and went outside.
A couple of people indicated to me that perhaps I will have to pay the piper on what I said. That I will that she will talk to me about that.
Yeah,
she's not shy. Know. And so, I look forward to a dialogue.
Really?
I really, really do.
Really?
I truly do. I think it'll be fun. Be good for me. You know, I tend to keep things pent up.
I'd like my next dialogue with Teresa to be when I'm all just jacked up.
Yeah.
I'd like when I'm wasted.
Well, mm-hmm. that'll probably be the Christmas party.
Mm-hmm. That would, yeah, well.
Let's plan on it.
Maybe you're right, Mike.
Let's plan on a powwow.
Maybe we finally have a reason to go to
a powwow or so.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Howdy. We're doing very well, thanks.
Good. Checking in from Sacramento. Went to the game.
Okay.
I pretty sure I kept pretty accurate, 27.
27 times. Now, were you able to discern if he's doing that thing where he's thanking God or Jesus or Allah, whoever, or is he actually pointing at his wife?
No, you know, he does both, and it's not really clear. Every time anything goes right, he's putting his fist up. I think it's all a sign to his wife.
All right.
I don't think he's doing the Allah, Don.
All right, so you heard the 27. you thought you saw 27 there.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello there.
Sorry. I just been realizing, like, all day long, you guys, JFK has been playing all Friday's commercials.
Well, now,
I don't know if you guys noticed that, but in the last break, you guys had, I guess one of the news broadcasters saying something about Halloween.
Yeah,
that's going to be
really
golden ticket, sir. Tonight, blah blah blah.
It's a proud day for us. Yeah, Rob, we'll need the fanfare.
Actually,
yeah.
We caught it and it has been corrected.
We'll need the fanfare though because. I'm telling you, this is the new game show sensation that is sweeping the nation, the Don and Mike Impossible Contest.
What's broken today?
Now, if you would have had, and sir, do you have the ticket?
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
What are you talking about?
No, see, he doesn't have the ticket.
No, he doesn't have it now.
He doesn't have the ticket with the twisty and the thing from the place. But if you did, if you had the ticket that said the station would still be running Halloween commercials 3-4 days after Halloween on the air, you would have won a trip around the world.
Yeah.
That would have been wonderful.
I'm very sorry, though. But get to your next, yank it. You know, they're all over America. They're usually right there by Burger King and McDonald's. Go to Yank It and then get a Twisty and get your Don and Mike Impossible Contest card.
Yank It has a full variety of different flavors of Twisties, and you should enjoy it, and also get the ticket that could pay off really big for you.
Because if you would have had it,
next time.
Broken, but not technically broken, a problem in the makeup of the radio station, right, playing the commercials.
It could be Wendell.
And remember, all Yankee stores, the original Twisties.
And no, it's not Wendell. That's not his department.
No.
Now we're bringing the Don and Mike Impossible Contest game into an entire another bowel of the radio station.
Yes, playing commercials when they have already expired. That falls into a totally different category.
So Halloween was Friday. So today, and see, we don't hear the commercials because we cut away to go to do the network thing.
Right.
So, Rob, when we went to commercial, Halloween was Friday. What commercials were we playing?
It was something to tease the news on the mighty WRC Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I understand there was a spot this morning that said looking ahead to the Dallas game.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Which could be looking way ahead, because don't they play in mid-December?
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always good to plan ahead. But I think we've got that ironed out now.
Wheels coming off right now.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, wheels,
the wagon's turning into a sled.
Wheels coming off.
See you at Yank It.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hi. I wanted to call and let you know your boy Sabian up in Philadelphia has stolen the You Be the DJ idea.
Now, hold on. We're getting somewhere that I don't even know where we're going.
Okay.
First off, turn down your radio.
Okay, radio's off.
Very good. And now your comments, please. Well, are you
breeding hamsters or something there? What's going on?
It's like CB interference or...
No, CB interference. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay. All right, go ahead. What did you want to say?
Your good friend, Tim Sabian.
At WYSP in Philly.
Correct. He was running a contest. I was up there this weekend.
Yeah.
You be the DJ. And I know you were talking for such a long time.
Right. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. All right. Thank you, my friend. Well, we've said it before, and we'll say it again, that the radio world knows few minds as diverse as those of Tim Sabian.
Absolutely.
Another one of the up-and-coming stars at Viacom, CBS, Infinity. And I'm sure that very soon Tim will have
a staff of no-talent amateurs.
Did you see his table last night?
Oh, Tim Sabian.
Yeah, at CBS in 75.
Yeah. All right, thank you. See you later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
No-talent amateurs joining the ranks of WYSB. Hey, work for Cousin Ed.
Bye-bye. God, you know, let me just say, we are dangerously close to getting totally inside.
Yes, I am.
I just want to say this. We do the show right now. We're terribly close to getting so inside the radio business, inside the radio station, that I don't know how many people are going to follow this. I'm willing to take the trip. It's like Fantastic Voyage.
It's a fun trip once in a while. Necessary.
He got shot into the guy's bloodstream.
Yes, and you get to see all the parts of the body.
Yeah.
Which really is a faulty premise, because the fact of the matter is, you would be shot inside of the body, and you'd be in the bloodstream, and you wouldn't get outside of the artery.
And as long as we were on the topic, I'll bring it up now. But just this will be the only comment on this topic, because it's radio related. There are now, from what I can discern, from what I've heard from people in these other markets, there are two different cities where there are DJs who are trying to get into fights with us.
Wow.
And they are DJs who we do not know, therefore we ignore, you know, because we never heard of them. One of them is the DJ in Sacramento, and the other that I'm hearing about is a DJ in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, the fact is...
Are they on our stations, both of them?
Yes, they are. The fact of the matter is that with both of you, you're going to have to try harder.
Mm-hmm.
You're really going to have to try harder to get your names mentioned on a nationally syndicated radio show.
Very good.
You're going to have to try harder than spending all day on your local show, emphasize local, talking about programming that's brought in via satellite in the hope that listeners will call the show that is syndicated to mention your name.
Very good.
We don't buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it works. We fight with disc jockeys who we're really pissed at.
Mm-hmm.
We fight with disc jockeys who we really have a grudge with. Guys like this guy in Seattle and the other guy, the guy in Sacramento, the guy who just, hey, it's a way for me to get myself into the papers, like with that guy, Michael Savage.
Mm-hmm.
When East Coast Bob called Michael Savage.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, for 2 weeks, you couldn't go anywhere on the radio business without hearing the fact that Michael Savage wished AIDS on people, and then for some reason he blamed us for this.
Right, exactly.
Right, because it was a big boost to Michael Savage, and somehow we were involved in it, even though we weren't.
Yes.
Well, it ain't going to happen this time.
Mm-hmm.
It just ain't going to happen this time, to quote the great Larry Lujack. But really, he should not have sent the letter.
Yes, because he was acknowledging you when he did that.
Yes, but many years ago, and this is part of my point, when you guys, back when you guys were just pulling on your PUD, back when I was out there actually doing it, working in radio, getting it done, working in the biggest markets, in bigger cities than you could ever dream of working either, and either of you schmucks at a really legendary radio station, I ended up getting fired from that station and going to a not-so-legendary station and competing against this guy, Larry Lujack, super jock. And what was great was I pounded him, because I know how it is when the other guy's the guy who's got all the ratings.
Right.
And that's what you guys are. And you know, I'm thinking, well, I got to take Lujack. I got to pound on him. And he never mentioned one thing about me on the air. But one day I got a letter. In that old, like, Alfred Hitchcock typewriter way, you know, like,
typewriter window. Right.
Not on station stationery or anything.
Right.
Just to me from Larry Lujack with his address. I opened it up and it said, "Dear Don, the eagle does not hunt flies." Lair. And at the time.
Pretty good line, yeah.
I read the letter and I had a Keanu Reeves moment. I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
Like, whoa, that is for super jock, that is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, I realized that if he really meant it, he wouldn't have sent the letter.
Must have bothered him a little.
Now, you guys out there in Seattle and Sacramento, where we can't hear you, I can't say that it bothers me because I don't know. I just know that you're trying to bait us into a fight, and I'm sorry that you don't have enough talent or you don't have enough get up and go, that you don't have the determination or the drive, which incidentally would be a great, great license plate for somebody, determination
and drive.
I'm sorry that you don't have what it takes to make it in the radio business, at least to the level that we've made it at. But don't use this show as your stepping stone to get somewhere else.
Ain't going
to
happen.
It just ain't. Good. But anyway, because we're getting like faxes and stuff saying, oh, mm-hmm. my God, this guy's talking about you. And this.
Yeah, and everybody loves a little radio war. But, you know, you got to make them, you got to pick your fights and make them worthwhile.
That's right. Yeah, you know, and God knows we got enough going on right here.
Oh, yeah. Listen to what's happening inside this radio station.
Exactly. We don't need to fight with disc jockeys from other cities.
My God, they're clueless people all around us.
we got it here. Hi, Teresa. So. Okay.
Here we go.
I'm going to try to move away from the entire Teresa topic for right now.
Well, you're still talking about your weekend, though. And was that the only thing that happened at the party? Did you have any other moments?
I've got a great setup. No, that was not the only thing that happened
at the
party.
That's a legitimate question.
So I had my scene with Teresa. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, I said to Buzz, Christ, let's go stand outside, you know, because they had like a little outdoor area across the street from the strip mall where you could stand out there and have a smoke and have a drink and just not have to deal with all, you know.
So you stood outside of the town hall?
Yeah, yes,
on the front steps of the town hall.
We did. There was a lot of us. There were like 17 or 18 guys out there.
Very good.
So we're just standing out there, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of mine, Buzz and Marcia came over to our home, and they drove us to this place. Mm-hmm. And it was about 20 minutes from where I live, and we had a nice drive, and we got there. I don't know, the invitation said arrive at 7. We arrived at about 7:30.
I think so.
You know, 7:30, we were half an hour late. That's good. I had the fight with Teresa, not that I remember, but it was at about 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we had moved outside. So I said to Buzz, I am flipping out with this Teresa. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Let's go outside.
Get some air.
So we're standing outside, and then Shondell, she's the birthday lady, she comes outside, mm-hmm. and somebody says to me, you have to keep Shondell outside, because her husband is getting the presentation ready for her inside.
Okay.
They're
going
to do one of these big This Is Your Life things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing in front of the door, and Shondell keeps wanting to go back in, and finally I just said to her, Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. You can't go in because I'm sure you're not shocked by this information. They're preparing something for you inside.
Yeah, you got to stay outside.
So they've asked you to stay out here. And she said, that's fine. And it was at that moment that the Broyhills came around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa before Charlie.
Right.
And Lisa had her...
arriving?
Just arriving.
At 10 o'clock?
Very late. Yeah, 10 p.m. And the gift that Lisa had in a box was a dildo.
Hallelujah.
Not just any dildo.
But then, now, Mike, this was a magic dildo that as Lisa took it out of the box and started to show Shondell how it worked, this baby had a motor on it, and you turn this motor on, and the penis thing started...
Oh, wow, so the
gyrating.
It
wiggled.
It's moving back and forth. And then Shondell says, at one point, she says, now you have to come here and put your fingers on the beads. And I said, I don't know if I even want to be touching this thing. And she says, no, you're going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, I'm going to love this. Yeah. I'm going to love this big, pink, pulsing,
gyrating.
Which is, make it sound like this, you know, a big dildo.
Yeah, that sounds like it's hitting hair.
Let me just say, right below the mushroom area.
Uh-huh, right.
There apparently is a little band of like BBs and
magic beads.
And they're in some kind of oogie, this swirly
latex type of thing.
Type of stuff, and you put your hand there, you put your fingers there, and you can feel them rub against you, and I guess, you know, it goes... When it goes where it's supposed to go.
I would imagine it'd be quite a sensation.
It does the job. And
did you like it, Buzz?
I thought it was fascinating. Technology marches on.
Shondell and all of the girls that were outside at that point...
Were handling it.
...started passing it around, and there was a... I hope that Shondell and Russ don't mind me mentioning this. I thought it was a great moment.
Yeah.
When Shondell's mom came out, Shondell was standing there with the dildo and said, "Oh, Mom... Look,
still
look
gyrating.
At my gift." And it was still like, it was like a snake. It was like an angry snake, Mike.
So obviously the gift was going over rather well.
They loved it.
Big hit.
And she was holding it up and saying to her husband, "Hey, I'm not going to have any use for you tonight." And then she goes, "Well, here, Don, try it. Touch it. Try it." You know. And I'm wondering, this one, where's the rule that says no one's allowed to talk to me or speak to me?
Where is it now? Because you're hoping for it at that point.
Shondell's got a gigantic, and I mean, listen, I can only compare it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
By my eyes, a gigantic, the Hulk's penis is what she got.
Right.
Gigantic pink thing that's moving.
Huge.
And gyrating, like it's like a...
So
like
it's
a,
out of the box at this point.
Yeah, it's like a it's like a Six Flags ride. This thing is
a lot going on. Yeah.
Incredible.
It's going crazy.
Incredible.
Oh, and then as long as we're naming names, I just want to say now we have mentioned Rhea on this show before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Rhea is another one of the sales ladies who we both speak to.
Right.
Who for a while there was a rumor of a romance between Mike and Rhea.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that was Mike's lunch date.
Right.
Anyway, Rhea and her boyfriend arrived, and I was shocked. And as soon as I saw him, I said, "How you doing?" And I got nothing from the guy.
Yeah. Okay.
He looked at me, and I went, "How you doing?" And I got nothing.
Now, you hadn't been drinking, though.
No, I had not been, not a drop. I said, "You look like Joey from Friends."
Dead ringer. Dead ringer.
Anyway, he just went, "Yeah," and kind of, and I went, "Hey, how you doing?"
Right, right.
But anyway, hi to him. I'm sorry if I pissed him off. It was a compliment.
Yeah.
That the guy looks like Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, good-looking guy. Mm-hmm.
Is that the guy?
That's the guy, Joey from Friends.
Matt Perry is the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then we get inside, and we have the big presentation for Shondell, which was very nice and very touching. And, then at that point, the keg was brought into play. And that's the last part, next to last part of the story.
The keg, the beer keg was brought in?
The beer keg was there all along. The beer keg did not become an integral part of the party until the arrival of Lisa Marie Broyhill.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that.
Interesting.
Lisa Marie Broyhill, Charlie's wife, Fatso's wife, not only brought the dildo, that immediately broke the black cloud that had been Teresa.
Right.
She also then turned the night into a night to remember.
Really?
Yes. Well, she did.
Well, please explain.
Well, right after the commercials.
Oh, you tease.
Of course I do. It's what I do.
Uh-huh.
We'll be back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What brings you here? I
heard about your trouble with Batu. Thought he'd come to lend a hand.
Thank you, my son.
He's fought you. He's my own student.
The five city monks, they've all been killed. It was Batu and his gang.
Where's Batu now?
Well, I'm not really sure. What'll we do?
As for Batu, deal with him as you think fit.
The Don and Mike Show.
National Treasures. Don and Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll wait about the football thing. Everybody saw the football. Well, wait. We'll wait for that. We'll finish with the party. We'll keep you going in chronological order. And, what a great weekend. A lot of great games. A great weekend to be an NFL fan, especially if you're blessed like we are to live in the D.C. metro area.
Oh, yeah. The D.C. football fans are happy, baby.
Yeah. You know it's a dumb DJ stunt, so I don't know about it. I'm really thinking though, thinking seriously about burning my tickets. Mm. Now I know for this week's game. Now I know that only hurts me because I'm the schmuck that's already paid the money for the ticket.
Right.
But I am a schmuck that's upset with the team, and I have a radio show.
Yes.
So that might be a way to get... Yeah, I would think rather than send a letter to the editor that will never be read, well, what if you just happened one day to just get a page in the newspaper for that? I mean,
you know, where do you think the problem lies, Don?
Mike, it all starts at the top. And yeah, unfortunately, with the Redskins, when you look at the top, you got to look down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just not big enough, although, you know, he looked good. I could tell Dan Snyder was working out during the game yesterday because he was struggling to hold those giant binoculars
I'm
up to
I'm just trying to see the field.
Little eyes.
I can't see the field.
You know, there's just some bad teams.
How do you like my tie?
There are bad teams.
Uh-huh.
Now
there are a lot of bad teams.
Now here's the thing. You know, the Jets are a bad team. Cincinnati's a bad team. Arizona's a bad team. Atlanta's a bad team. Pittsburgh is a bad team. Jacksonville is a bad team. Here's the thing. With all these teams, the reason that the Redskins, and this is a topic that we're going to discuss on the show, why people hate Dan Snyder so much. If the Redskins were just one of these bad teams, but we didn't have such a prick owner, I don't think people would care.
Right. Yeah.
If we didn't have a guy that was putting the patches, and Rob, I'm going to need that song again, putting the patches for his dead pappy who had nothing to do with the team on the jerseys, and you know, poor Spurrier. The ball coach.
Spurrier seriously looked yesterday like he was going to have a nervous break.
He looked like Ernest T. Bass. I mean, the guy can't take an S without asking Snyder what to do. The team loses a couple of games in a row, so Snyder's idea is, well, you bring in these guys who you fired as coaches already, bring them in to consult.
Right.
Now, listen, who doesn't hate consultants?
Right.
And then I understand what they did was all they did was write papers like, team should block good.
Mm-hmm.
Team should run fast.
Tackle better.
And, that was a national game yesterday, the Redskins and the Cowboys. And
very frustrating.
They were awful, and that poor guy who very soon is going to be eating out of just eating baby food. He's the next Steve Young waiting to happen. It's this cat, Patrick Ramsey.
He had the guts to come back, you know. I mean, but it's amazing.
I say to Patrick Ramsey, like I say to the salespeople, how stupid. I mean, you've already got the crap beaten out of you. They put in the guy, incidentally, the Redskins at quarterback when Patrick Ramsey got knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
They put in a guy.
Take a knee.
Here's how famous this guy is.
Take a knee.
The guy that they put in, he's not known as a football player.
Uh-huh.
He's known as the guy who married one of the girls from the second Survivor.
Yep.
He's never played a down.
Nope.
In the NFL, and he's only been with the team for 11 days.
Had a successful college career.
He's the backup quarterback.
Wow.
And there's just too much to get into right now, but it's Snyder.
Ah.
It's Snyder, and I'm watching the Fox show yesterday, and I see Jimmy Johnson talking about how Dan Snyder called him up. Because Dan Snyder was mad about something Jimmy Johnson had said in a previous week on Fox NFL show, and then they started talking about how tough it is for a college coach to make the transition to the pros.
Has he called you?
He is... Mike, he's not called me, and he owes me a call because he effed up my car.
That's right.
When they towed my car in the parking lot. So I'm just thinking about protesting, and I know I'm just throwing away my own money, and my wife probably won't let me do this because the tickets are expensive, but I'm really thinking about just getting some kind of mass burning of these until Dan Snyder agrees to sell the team to a sane human being.
Just all I heard was that apparently there was a meeting of owners, and it was involving the Super Bowl location, and we didn't get the Super Bowl in 2008, and he apparently stormed out of the meeting. That's the way I heard it.
He's very upset. Like Stuart Little got into his car and drove away.
You'll be sorry, Pee Wee Herman.
So this poor guy, Spurrier, who everybody knows from Florida, they're wondering, you know what? What the hell's going on with this guy? Because he looks like a mental patient on the sidelines, and you wonder why he's a mental patient on the sidelines? Look at the guy up in the box. You know, all of these other teams that I mentioned, and all of the other crappy teams, Jacksonville, the Jaguars, Cincinnati, the Bengals, Arizona, San Diego, all these teams, they all suck. But you don't see their owners on TV. You don't see the guys with the big, gigantic cufflinks, and you don't see them down there walking around on the field and stuff. It's like, listen, okay, you're a rich guy. You're a short guy. You got a Napoleon complex. We can all deal with that. You're bigger and stronger and powerful than us in so many ways. What you should do if you own the team is just put the money into it and stay the F away from it. Just leave it alone. You want to hire Spurrier because he's a sexy choice? Hire him. And then let him do what he does. Don't F it up. I mean, Jesus Christ. The team's had four coaches.
Right.
In 4 years, something like 18 quarterbacks, it's like 12 quarterbacks. I don't know.
Well, it's anyway, not I'm, going well.
I'm
no.
thinking about burning my tickets.
I now, can't believe what I'm hearing.
I know that it's not like a disc jockey who says I'm going to get up on a billboard. And
hey, I'm going to stay up until they win a game, man.
Until they win, because frankly, I don't care that much about them.
Right.
But I am a season ticket holder.
Yes, you are.
And I am...
You're frustrated, and I think you echo the frustrations of a lot of fans.
I am pissed, and I know that this is a, you know, we're a national show, but I believe that the hatred for Dan Snyder... now reaches a national level, and I feel comfortable bringing this up on a national radio show.
Well, he gets a lot of TV time.
He sure does, and he should just get the F out of there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you got to go to the other team's site to watch the game, get yourself one of those deals like Jack Bauer has on 24, where, you know, when you want to shoot heroin or you want to, I'm not saying he shoots heroin, but if you want to have your little, I'm so mad dance or whatever it is that he does, do that thing where you shut the blinds.
Right.
So you're
or
not
go
on,
to the back of the box.
You're not on television. You know? Jesus Christ.
Did he have any tantrums on TV yesterday?
No, but he had his Elvis Mafia guys, his Memphis Mafia guys sitting all around him, and meanwhile, they still got those patches on their uniforms.
Well, this is a delight for me. How are you, Donald?
I am doing fine, Mr.
Are you
Cook?
Donald or Domingo?
So they got a patch on their uniforms that really is inconsequential to the guy, Dan Snyder.
And you're still mad about that.
Yeah. See, because the priority doesn't seem to be to get a good team or to let the coach coach.
No.
The priority seems to be to jump in and F things up as much as you possibly can. Like putting a patch on jerseys. But you should be worried about maybe getting a second-string quarterback with more than 11 days in your system.
You know, I'm looking back to other active, proactive owners, hands-on owners.
He's the dickiest.
And, you know, they've all been a certain type. There's a lot of ego involved, you know? But most of the... Isn't the model for successful franchises, by and large, you put your people in and then you kind of let it happen?
Yeah.
Jerry Jones would be an exception. I think George Steinbrenner would be an exception in baseball.
I tried patches. So you put a patch on the jersey.
Oh, Danny boy.
For his dead father. Which I'm down with.
The pipes,
no pun intended.
Pipes, right.
But listen, dude. You're like ruining this team, man. Really, you're the worst owner in the NFL. You're a worse owner than that guy in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Than that guy with the bow tie in Arizona.
And isn't that who got the Super Bowl?
Yeah. As a matter of
Sorry.
What have I been saying for the last 4 minutes?
Yeah. Anyway, they're just, they're the worst. Now, you know, I'm looking at the list. I don't want to exclude all the cities we broadcast to. Buffalo, you had a bye. Looking for Buffalo to come back next week, but certainly no reason to take Ralph Wilson out and take him out. Baltimore, we love the Ravens. We've had the ownership of that show on this show, of that team on this show.
Right.
Let me see. Pittsburgh. Well, all right, here's a good example. We're not in Pittsburgh, and the Pittsburgh Steelers just suck. They're 2-6. They just couldn't be worse. But you don't see Rooney.
Rooney!
You don't see Rooney on TV. Let me see. Oakland. Oakland, that's another market we broadcast to. Oakland is 2-6. They got beat yesterday by Detroit. Boy, do they stink on ice. And they're not a
And for all the Detroit fans, I just always like to, you know, really, you want to talk about long-suffering. I really have to say to the Detroit fans, I'm always happy. I'm always happy for them.
Is there a bigger dick than Al Davis? I mean, really, is there a bigger dick? But he's not as much of a prick as Snyder is.
Well, he's not out in front like he used to be.
Then you have, let me go to the other markets that we broadcast to. Green Bay. Okay, a great victory last night by Green Bay. That guy, Mike Sherman. Jesus Christ, he might as well be one of the guys doing the ads on TV for the new peach $20 bills. He just blends in so well. And how ridiculous is that, if I could just break off for a second, that our government spent $30 million on an ad campaign. They spent $30 million of our money on an ad campaign to tell us that the $20 bill was going to look different.
Right. Right.
Do we need an ad campaign of $30 million?
Any crazy fool will be able to look at it and tell that it's peach.
Yes. And you know, the new bills are not being recognized by automatic money machines.
Really?
The ones you have to put it? Yeah, they overlooked that.
Oh, they forgot that.
But other than that, it's great.
And I've also heard that they are already being counterfeited.
And also, they give me a rash.
So. Right. Now, let's continue. New Orleans. New Orleans. Right. Now, I'll tell you this. That's a crazy owner. We're on in Louisiana.
Is that the guy still that dances with the parasol?
That's the guy that has the faggot umbrella that dances. And now he's been a bad guy before. He's gotten involved before, but now he's backed the F off. And look at that. New Orleans, big victory yesterday. Looked strong against Tampa. They're 4-5.
When Jimmy Johnson was winning Super Bowls for Dallas, did Jerry Jones stay in the background more than he does now or not?
Here's the thing. He was on the sidelines. But Jimmy Johnson had an aura about him that said, hey, look,
leader.
There's Jerry Jones.
He's a former player.
Yeah. Isn't he funny?
Not an NFL player, right? College player, or did he play
in the NFL? No, just college. But it was almost like an unspoken thing that Jerry Jones would look at. There'd be Jerry Jones in a big fur coat. And Jimmy Johnson would just look at him like, look at that jackass. Well, he owns the team. What are you going to do?
Do you remember those days, you know, with Madden and Summerall, where they showed Jerry Jones in, like, the big raccoon skin coat down there on the sidelines? It was amazing.
And let me see. We broadcast to San Francisco.
Right.
Your ownership is nuts. I mean, let's face it. You got the broad running the team, but you got the brother-in-law, and you got the dead guy. But they're 4-3. You don't hear.
They got a dead guy running the team.
They did at one
you
point.
Try that.
And then Seattle. Well, now you're 6-2. You got one of those Starbucks guys or computer guys or somebody, Paul Allen, that owns the team. You never see Dick from this.
Can I give you a theory about the Washington Redskins that I've had for a long time? The reason he's probably... There are a lot of obvious reasons why he's not popular. But I think one of the reasons is that... Stop it. One of the reasons I think he's not popular is... You are really making me lose my train of thought.
Why?
You got a guy that took over a team, took over a franchise, and they are behaving badly, aren't they?
Yeah.
John and Rob are behaving badly.
Very
right now.
Badly.
He put in all these things that you would get after you won a Super Bowl,
right.
And the fact is, I can't talk anymore.
Yeah.
Can I finish my point? No,
yeah.
I see. That's what this
yeah.
is. I won't talk anymore. I'll just say it's football. It's your thing.
No, go ahead. Come on, you know.
But he did everything. He did was like what you do the season after a team won a Super Bowl. And he did it, and they haven't won dick.
You're absolutely right.
And so everybody's pissed off, and they've been pissed off. They've continued to be pissed off.
All right.
And he acts as though, because this team is so revered in this area, he acts as though they've won a championship.
All
and
right,
you haven't, and I think people are getting fed up.
Sure.
Do you track with me on that?
I do, and that's why, because I am pussy-whipped, not as pussy-whipped as... What's that guy's name?
Doug Christie.
Doug Christie.
Blues.
I am not as pussy whipped to somebody, I'm pussy whipped. I will ask my wife now if I can burn the tickets on the air for the game this week against Seattle.
Very good.
And urge other people to come down and burn their tickets with me.
Well, I mean, if you're going to really make a statement, you burn all your season tickets.
Hello?
Baby. Well, no, there's some good games coming up.
Okay.
I mean, not with the Redskins. But with
you're
the
qualified. You're making a one-game statement.
Yeah.
Before you go very far with this burning, let's discuss it during the break.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Never mind.
All right.
It's my ticket, though.
Yeah.
It's my ticket.
Yes, it is. So please burn it at your house.
At my house?
Right.
What, I can't burn it here?
Well, you can, but you shouldn't encourage others to come and do it.
Why? Free country.
Yes, it is a free country.
And if all those people loan tickets? Hey, baby?
Yes, my darling. Here's
the thing. I know I'm pussy whipped, not like Doug Christie, but, you know, those tickets cost a lot of money. How would you, you know, I'm so mad at the Redskins. You know how mad I was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That I was really out of my mind. I'd like to burn the tickets. On the air for this week's game, even though we paid for them. And I'd like to invite other people to come down and show their level of disgust by burning the tickets.
I think you can make a stand with 1 week. I
agree.
Work that in our budget.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's my personal sacrifice mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. I won't be going to the game, and maybe people could bring their dogs down, and their dogs could go number two on the tickets before we set them on fire.
This week.
What?
I wanted to actually go this week.
Honey, I'm sorry. We got to make a stand. They just got killed by Dallas. And why did you don't even know who they're playing this week?
Right? I know, but I wanted, my brother is going to be there. I was going to say hi to him. I don't care about the football, the actual game.
Why don't you make a different kind of statement and give your tickets to Tom and Thomas Gavin and Dennis Murphy?
Because Mike, that hurts no one but the good people who are sitting in my section.
Right.
That's really not right.
All right. All right, baby. Bye, my sweetheart.
All right, bye. I love you.
I love you too.
See you later. All right, well, I guess I'll find out what's going on here.
Yeah. But Charlie happens to still be standing in the studio.
Hi, Charlie. Time. How you doing, pal?
Well, I didn't know if you were done with me or not, buddy.
No, I... I tell you what.
I think anybody that's savvy, a savvy listener of this program, can probably read between the lines.
Good friend, you stay right there, because we've still not talked about... I'm sorry, we got off...
The keg thing right. You were going to talk about.
The keg thing, yeah. Right, at the party. With the thing with the guy. So
right.
Stay right there. And Charlie, stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Keith, that's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They are Icelandic cowboys in the West. Don and Mike.
Average Joe. Here is what I've just heard. Two things during the commercial break.
Average Joe.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Tom.
Let me see. The sports junkies apparently 2 years ago had the same great idea. When the Redskins were sucking, that they wanted to burn tickets on the air.
Okay.
They were not allowed to. Now, I don't know what they want, if they had tickets or wanted people to come down and burn the tickets.
Right. John, is it about the game or is it about the pageantry?
Alan Jitters-Linewand says that as a ticket holder, I can burn my ticket,
uh-huh.
but I cannot ask people to come down and burn their tickets with me, and I say that it is free speech. He says it's because he's the rice holder. And I say, eat me, that... if I want to burn my ticket for the tickets for this week's game mm-hmm. and want people to come down, how else are the fans going to let the money fans? How else are they going to let the little guy know that we really think he stinks?
There you go.
I mean, he's already got our money. Mm-hmm. He's already won.
Right.
He's already won.
Mm-hmm.
And like everybody that has season tickets for this team, he's got us locked into contracts.
Right.
I mean, for 5 years. We got to pay for 5 years.
You have to pay for 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years. But
wow.
But if there's just one game where you want to make a statement mm-hmm. to say, you suck, And I'm burning my tickets on the air, and I'm going to urge like-minded, right-thinking football fans just for 1 week not to go to the game. And
kind of a protest?
Yes, not to do that thing where you put the bag on your head.
Yeah.
Not to go with signs and everything.
Hey, yeah. That was New Orleans, wasn't it, with the bags on the head?
Yeah, but that's gone everywhere.
That was big fun.
What you do is just wouldn't it be great when they go on TV this Sunday and they say, at the stadium, there's like 20,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great if 60,000 people this week would make a stand and say, Snyder, sell the team. You're just mucking it up.
That'd be great.
Just, you know, you're going to make some money on it. It's worth more now than when you bought it.
Right.
Then go out and buy computers or cable TV companies.
Right.
Or whatever it is that you do where you can just be a swinging dick.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be a swinging dick when you hold a public trust like an NFL team.
Right, exactly. Win, baby.
So
just win, baby.
That's all.
And me, I'd love a nice big bonfire. Imagine that. People, and they'd have to be people who are partially retarded like me, because think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hurting anybody but myself.
No, you're really not.
I've already paid the money.
Right. The money, you're making a statement.
It's paid in advance.
Exactly.
I've already paid for the tickets. Don, no, Rob, I can't. I can't afford the team.
We could all chip in.
No,
I bet if we had a really, really good bake sale.
It's worth too much. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
So what came up this weekend that means you can't go to the game that allows you to make this noble gesture?
Oh, what? Cynic. Ye are a cynical man.
Absolutely, just asking.
Absolutely
nothing came up. I've been going to the games ever since I got my ticket 7 years ago. Nothing's come up. What came up was this stink fest yesterday.
All right, well, take your word for it then.
Yeah, and I guess you'll have to, won't you?
Well, you'll just have to let us know where you are on Sunday during the game.
I tell you, if I burn my tickets, I'll be on my couch with my fat ass watching it on TV.
That's almost as good. Almost as good.
This guy is this Johnny Smarmy calling.
Just checking, yeah.
Are you a ticket holder, sir?
Let me just say, you're absolutely right that there was a conflicting appointment that I had this coming Sunday at 1, and being as it's, you know, I felt the need to come on the radio and make up an excuse why I wouldn't be at the Redskins game this weekend. I needed an excuse to burn my ticket.
You have your crap detectors? We have ours. Just checking.
Yeah. Never. Listen, here's the crap detector. They suck!
I'll give you that.
They suck! I pay $7,000 a year for tickets, and they still kill me on parking and beer and hot dogs, and they suck!
Does that say more about you for paying the money or them?
Pardon me?
Does that say more about you for paying $7,000 or for them for sucking?
Hey, listen, well, what do you think?
I don't know. I wouldn't pay that kind of money for a team that sucks.
You're not even a Redskins fan then.
You're right, I'm not.
It doesn't matter. Mike, it doesn't matter because it's a universal thing. If you're mad at your team, wherever you are,
right.
Except no one has it as bad as we do with the Redskins. And you're right, sir. I do have a prior commitment on Sunday. It's banging your mom. And banging your mom in the bad place. Even though I don't go there, I'm going to use another device.
Well, as a Seahawks fan, I feel your pain.
Are you calling from Seattle?
No. Close to.
Where are you calling from?
Spokane.
All right, well, let it go. Let it go. That's what your mom's going to be saying to me. Let it go.
I have the ultimate crap detector, and believe me, I will call Don if I ever think there's anything hinky. Mm-hmm. I believe he is sincere about this, sir.
All right. Oh, yeah. Then, Mike, you're the ultimate crap detector, and I take your word for it.
No, I mean, he's pissed off. We were talking about it up in the office.
And your mom's a great lay. Make no bones about that.
and that we can all agree on.
Well, for you to go to the game without you?
No, I will. I will probably burn her ticket. Otherwise, how would you like it played? Well, what is the road of least resistance with you?
I think Frida should go by herself.
Frida should go by herself. Well, now then
well,
I
that's
lose.
That's just plain cruel.
Then I lose out on her companionship.
And what's the social activity there if you go to a game by yourself?
She's not going to be there when you're with my mom anyway, so she might as well be at the game.
Would you like to? You know, maybe I'll take this guy's mom. You know,
all right,
I'll tell you one thing: we'll never make it to the game.
Okay, goodbye, you.
Goodbye.
See ya. Bye bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buddies.
Hey.
Hey, man. I'll tell you what. I'll come down there and burn my tickets with you. Not only that, I'll go out in the parking lot, take a BM, and use the tickets to wipe the BM.
Okay. Well, now that's. See, for me, that's wonderful.
Nothing like that creative thinking.
But
angry.
I don't think they're going to let you do that. Let me call the general manager.
Okay.
The jitters.
Welcome.
Here
to
we go.
Uncomfortable theater.
Here we go. This is going to be fun.
Well, he's on the phone.
On the line.
I wonder who he's talking to. Alan?
Yes.
Hey, it's Don and Mike. Hi, you're on the air. So exactly why can't I, it's free speech, I've already paid the thousands of dollars for the tickets. Why can't I burn them on the air?
Well, because that wouldn't be right. I mean,
why? They suck. They suck.
Listen, you know, what can I tell you? I'm a season ticket holder, too.
They suck. That's like saying someone who thinks our radio show sucks, saying to them,
they can't burn us.
Well, Mike, or another show.
Oh.
Someone who thinks a radio show sucks, it's like you going to them and saying, hey, you can't break that radio because we're on the radio. No. So you pay money to the Redskins to run their games. So you tell them you got one guy who's really pissed off, who's a season ticket holder, and thinks he's tapping into the pulse of a lot of people around the city.
But you could tap into your own feelings about it and let people do what they want to do.
But, Alan, isn't the entire reason that we're here to connect with our audience?
Well, and you're doing that. You're.
But, Alan, I want to make the full commit. I want full penetration.
Misery loves company.
I want full penetration.
I understand.
I don't just want to commiserate with people. I want a show of force together.
And it's probably going to be chillier later in the week. Who doesn't like a good fire?
Well, you know what? You can light a fire, have some marshmallows, but it won't be with tickets.
And how would you... Listen, and I'm not trying to be argumentative here,
yes.
But exactly how would you stop that? Would you be...
I don't know. We'll figure a way.
See, because, Alan, we're trying in the spirit of our new deal,
yes,
not to do anything that goes out of bounds.
I'm just telling you, this would not be an idea that I would sanction.
Well, great. I needed your sanctions before.
And I wouldn't want you to say... I wouldn't want you guys to sanction.
Why? They suck. It's my...
You know,
they're my tickets.
I'm a season ticket holder, too.
Come on down and burn your tickets, too.
Now, I'll just give them away. I'll give them to a friend who wants to go.
I don't believe that. You'll charge at least face value for them.
All right. Maybe you're right.
Well, listen, we're going to do this. And I think we're going to have an interesting infight here if you're not going to allow us to burn them on the radio and invite people to come down and burn them with us. I mean, all that means is that we just meet at a separate location and we all just burn them together. And I just talk about it on the radio.
Well, you can't do any of this on the radio. That's all I'm telling you.
I can't burn. So what are you going to do tomorrow? If I bring my tickets in tomorrow and burn them on the radio, are you going to fire me?
Get it?
I don't know. Do I have that in the contract? I don't remember.
I don't believe so. I think this has nothing to do with our contract. This is free freaking speech. I bought these tickets to...
How beautiful is it that I allow you to speak freely about your feelings about this?
That you allow me to?
Yeah.
I think the general manager is angry.
Well, listen, Oz, I think it's great that you give me the right to do this, but in return, you get some pretty good ratings out of it. So
great.
It's not like you're doing a public service here.
We get great ratings, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, but this is something that, you know what, there's no reason.
There is reason. They stink. I'm mad.
All right, you know what, then I'll tell you what, bring them in, and I'll stomp on them with you.
But why is the
on the floor.
Why is the fire thing such a problem?
Well, I think it's obvious.
Why?
I'm not saying it. Neither one of you are saying it. I'm not certainly going to say it, you know?
What? Say it. I really don't know.
It's money. It's money.
But, yeah, it's my money that I'm bringing.
It's money. It's money. It's because we're the flagship station of the Redskins. That's
what?
All.
Hey, so you're on the flagship station of the Redskins, and you can't say they suck, and they suck so bad that I'm urging everybody to burn their tickets this week and not go to the game? Won't that be a great statement to see a stadium that's half empty?
But you know what? You even said if you don't go to the game, you won't be eating your hot dogs, will you?
If I don't go to the game, I won't be eating my hot dogs?
That's right.
What hot dog?
Well, you said that you already paid for the tickets.
Right. So.
You said they have your money already.
Yes, they have my money already.
They do.
Right. And my point is that if you're not at the game, in the arena, in the stadium, there won't be anything else you can do or buy. I don't think that would be right. If you choose not to do that, that's fine.
Hold on, wait a minute. I could do that anyway. I could go to the game and choose not to buy anything anyway.
Well, but you usually do, don't you? I mean, you buy something.
That wouldn't be much of a protest, though.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Alan. I've gotten used to paying $10 for a chicken wrap.
I understand.
I've gotten used to paying $12 for a vodka and tonic.
Is that how much a vodka and tonic is?
Yeah, well, maybe a double. But either way, I've gotten used to it. And it doesn't. Let me just tell you, it doesn't do the trick. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, you're buying mainly H2O. But I get that, you know, because that's the way that sports business is run. You know, you water down the drinks, you water down the beer.
Water down the booze.
You charge a lot of money, and then you got the schmucks that, like me, that wear the clothes and come to the stadium and support the team. But at some point...
You're an angry fan is what you are.
At some point, you just want to say to this guy, because this guy in particular is the guy that's mucking it up, just back off.
Well, you just said it.
Just back off.
You just said it.
I know I said it, but now, really, come on, Alan. This is a groundswell. This is like, this is like the witches of Eastwick, the witches of Salem. This
when the
like,
lady ate the cherries?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. That was great.
So anyway, listen, big, gigantic burning here on the show.
All right, Don. Listen, I got to run.
Okay, Alan.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Like, that's going to stop? Hey, Alan and Snelly, your second great appearance on the show today.
It's been festive today.
Second great appearance with Alan.
You made him jittery.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Don and Mike Show. You want your name to be on this too?
What are you going ahead and doing it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I could care less, one way or the other. I'm not. You know, I don't have season tickets.
The Don and Mike Show, going on the recommendation of Don, the season ticket holder, urges you to come down in a mass burning. That's right, burn your own money that you've paid tickets for to see the worst team in professional football. How else to let the little guy know? Hit him where it hurts, in the wallet. All right, so technically we're really not hitting him where it hurts because he's already got the money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he'll be pissed off that a radio station is burning tickets on the air. I guarantee it'll get his attention.
Oh, I think it maybe already has.
I guarantee it will. Come on down. And what is this? Now, here's a joke from Rob.
Yes.
Come down and flame brighter than Paul Lind.
That's a gay joke.
Because he's a flaming faggot?
Well, perhaps, yeah.
Yes.
You want to take it?
Hey, listen, are you sure you want to bring Paul Lind up? Hold on, turn this on for a second.
Why?
I'm talking. You don't have to go to the microphone yet, boy.
Right, well, I'm curious.
I'm on the telephone today with Rob's wife.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, oh, incidentally, blah, blah, they sent some pictures of their kids, some, you know, electronic mail pictures
right.
of their kids on Halloween, which were really cute, and then she talked to me about fantasy football, and then she said, oh, and Rob was on thegameshownetwork.com playing...
I played interactive match game.
Playing interactive match game, and he was on... in a chat room.
With game show people? Ew!
People from Game Show Network. And I hear in the...
Breeze. No!
I hear in the background, I hear him going, no, give me the phone!
Oh, yeah.
Give me the phone!
It was very brief. All I did is I placed a fifth, I believe.
Sometimes I forget how far you plunge into the land of nerddom.
And all I did is I went into the chat room to see if I could get a response, and I typed, I rule.
What's the password? Answer me these questions three.
And then I typed, just to see what they would say, I went into the chat room and I said,
he's embarrassed by this.
I have no friends.
A chat room with game show geeks.
It was probably...
That's
was
extremely dangerous, Rob.
A chat room for gameshownetwork.com.
Yeah.
He went in...
I don't think I'll be returning.
He went in to play on online match game against other losers.
Oh, my God.
I placed fifth.
You have to find a hobby.
I believe I have.
Oh, God.
No, I don't think I'll do it again, but I wanted to try it.
Man, don't they scare you at all on any level, those people?
No. Maybe.
You
should. That's highly disturbing.
You should have heard this, because his wife is just telling me about this. And then as soon as she gets on, oh, and has Robbie told you about how he goes on, and I hear from the back of the room,
no! No. There might have been a few cans of beverage involved before I did.
Well, I mean, now you got a free pass. Then you get a little excuse for you.
But it was
GameshowNetwork.com chat room bombed.
Hi.
That's amazing.
But I don't recommend it. It wasn't very good.
How's it stack up to internet porn?
What's that? Oh, not nearly that good.
Yeah,
but no pop-ups.
Which is your favorite game? Which is your favorite game? I'm not sure whether I like Press Your Luck or... Oh, the Magic Game.
What about High Rollers?
Hard Sharks.
Joker's Wild. Oh, I love the GameShowNetwork.com.
Listen, everybody's calling about this burning the tickets thing. I'm serious. I'll bring mine in tomorrow. You come on down, we'll burn them on the air. What's Alan going to do? What's he going to do? He's going to take a phone call from the little guy. You know, and what he should say to the little guy is, well, you run your football team and I'll run my radio station. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys have the right to say what they want to say. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be, just think, wouldn't it be great? What a great statement we could. Could you imagine if we could get it to block it out? So you know how sometimes people write stuff in the stands?
Right.
You know, if they give people placards to hold.
I mean, specifically select the people that were going to not be at the game to spell out something?
Like... It'll never happen.
No, it's a fantasy.
Because there's a section of red seats, and then a section of yellow seats, and then another section of red seats. If it was something like, F off Danny. And we'll never have the engineers to go through with it.
There we are on the Fox Network here. Let's take a look at... Well, how about that?
The crowd today appears to be about 45,000 short the normal. Let's look at... Oh, my God.
Pretty amazing stuff there.
From the Saturn blimp.
Right.
From the Saturn blimp. All right, well, that's what I want to do. Tomorrow, I'll bring my tickets in. You bring your tickets in, and we'll see if Alan wants to make a stink about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on how much of a stink he makes.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Just want to let you know that, unfortunately, my father-in-law won't be able to burn his tickets, even though he had 8 season tickets for the Redskins since they were at Griffith Stadium. So what is that, 50 years? He had 8 season tickets.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. And this year?
A lot of money.
And this year, he just told them to stuff it because they kept raising the prices.
Yeah, it's kind of
all right, so he stepped away. I'm sorry. You are of no use to me. Thank you, though. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don, don't burn those tickets. I'll take them. I'm a huge Seattle fan. I'm from Seattle. I'm living in the area. How good would it be if you really want to make a statement to fill the stands with Seattle?
Yeah, listen, here's what you don't get. I go to the games every week.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, no matter who they play, always half the people are for the other team.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not a home field advantage. I don't know if it's like this around the country.
Yeah, is it really like that in FedEx?
Yeah, even with it, you got a team like, let's say, hold on, let me just get a list, who they've played this year.
I know the Giants probably put a lot of people in there.
Yeah, but there are teams that you wouldn't expect, like San Diego. You go there, half the people were in San Diego, Jersey.
That's amazing.
I'm not kidding.
Well, it's a transient area. I mean, you get a lot of people that come from other places to work in Washington, D.C.
I know, but... That's right,
and I'm one of them, and I'd do just about anything for those tickets.
All right, well, no, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'd love to, but it would just piss off the people that sit in my section, and then I don't want to do that.
They come up, you know, with their faces painted in the Seattle colors. That ugly little bird helmet.
Do that, I would send Tom and Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
I'd send them.
Just still... That's, you know, I love that idea.
I know, but think about the poor people. You saw the people in my section.
I am thinking about the poor people.
Okay.
Believe me.
Oh. I know you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially since he lost his job.
I know. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tony Perkins has gone coast to coast to California's capital, Sacramento. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Chief. Good morning, everybody. They're here for Good Morning America, for Railfare 99, or the nationally syndicated Don and Mike radio shows in town today. These folks are excited.
The Don and Mike Show. They cherish most of their listeners. Don and Mike.
I just had an interesting conversation with a man whose underpants are brown.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Jitters called in on the hotline during the break. And makes a compelling case. And I'll tell you this, that he definitely thinks that we have a lot more power than we do.
Well, we have a little power.
It's funny. One of the things that, and I'll figure out a way around this ticket thing. I'll burn my tickets. Trust me.
Okay.
And if we don't want to go through a thing where we're going to be taken off the air.
No.
If they really want to make a fist about it, maybe I'll just urge everybody and see if we can't get a grassroots effort this week. If you're going to the game, don't buy anything there.
Well, Rob had a great suggestion. The former protest would be had a nice big meal before you go to the game.
Yeah, but I mean seriously.
He's that's what his concern is. Seriously,
because that's Alan's concern. Uh-huh. Alan says, and here's the guy. This is so funny because we're talking about an NFL team,
right?
He and a radio show. He says, "Well, what if you get people to burn their tickets, and then?" Like, no one goes to the game this weekend, and then the Redskins don't get money from the parking and the concessions.
Yeah.
They'd be really pissed at you, and then they'd be really pissed at him.
Yeah, that's the, that's it.
And that's what he's saying. And I said, well, I would, God, you know, if we've got that kind of influence, mm-hmm. if 80,000 people are going to listen to us mm-hmm. and not go to the game.
Well, and more than 80,000, because Joe was telling me during the break. People calling from other cities that are having sucky NFL seasons that want to do the same thing, want to send us their tickets.
Well, I don't see why. I mean, it seems to me that would be even more room to coast with Stuart Little
mm-hmm.
To say it's not just the Redskins that are hated.
Right.
I saw some of those calls on the screen from the Bay Area.
Right.
And I think from Pittsburgh, people were calling saying that they'd come and burn their tickets, too.
I'm already making my plans for the day off.
But, now there will be no days. Have to meet people somewhere off the air to do it.
And then a little party.
And then just talk about
it. Just talk about your day.
And I said to Alan, I said, really, at the end of the day, who's to say that I don't just get a piece of paper and say on the air that I'm lighting it on fire.
And then give the tickets to Tom and Dennis.
And then all these other people would come down and do the same thing.
Right.
No one would really know because it's theater of the mind. But he said, but what you guys do is pretty much always... what really happens. And
right.
I said, well, yes,
exactly.
That's true.
But he also hates that because paper isn't free.
God. Jesus. But, listen, all I know is that they suck, and now it's become more of a quest because Alan, because it's the tail wagging the dog here, mm-hmm. Alan is afraid of that the Redskins will be mad.
Right.
That
why would they be mad?
I don't know. I tell you what, Alan. Here,
how would they be angry?
Here is the only possible solution I'll offer you in this on-air negotiation. You fire Teresa, and I will back off all of this talk of burning Redskins tickets on the air.
Hold on, there's the hotline. Come on. That's Alan. Don. He said it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll continue this tomorrow. We're running out of time here, and I just want to mention getting back to Shondell's birthday party.
Yeah. You were when we last left off, and I remember this because I'm listening to the story, and I don't know what happened. You were talking about a keg,
right? So there are two kegs of beer. Shondell, who works here, is just turned 40. Mm-hmm. She couldn't be lovelier.
True.
Been a good friend of ours for a long time,
very long time.
Won't give you all the background on all the other crap that happened at the party, but please, you got to listen to the show every day. Because sometimes it's just jam-packed. But here's where we are now. I've already had the scene with Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
We've already had the dildo.
Right.
Now, there are kegs of beer.
Now, the Broyhills have arrived at the party late, right?
Yes, the Broyhills have arrived about 3 hours late, but they're in time for the big birthday toast to Shondell. And right after this happens, Lisa, Charlie's wife, Fatso's wife, she comes out and she says... who wants to do a keg stand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, who knows what a keg stand is? And she explains, well, what you do is you stand on your head, and actually you don't even stand on your head. You have guys who lift you up and hold you above the keg.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have like two or three guys holding your legs way up in the air, and you're dangling, and then you've got the thing from the keg, the nozzle that you... throw into your mouth and you.
I've been to a lot of parties. I've never seen this.
While you're upside down, you drink as much as you can until it comes out your nose and you get really drunk. So
supposedly,
she did it.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa did it. She was the first.
Who was holding her legs?
Not her husband.
No.
Some other guy.
Teresa.
some other guys were holding her legs.
Really.
And then everybody said Shondell do it. Shondell. Right, the birthday girl. So then Shondell said, I'll do it if Frida does it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my wife, who incidentally, last weekend when we were down visiting our son at college, had no problem getting drunk, decided, well, why not make it two weekends in a row? So the next thing I know, it's my wife, and she's upside down, and now I've moved in because I want to be one of the guys holding my wife's legs,
sure, right,
and holding her shirt to make sure that her boobs don't fall out.
Oh, where's the fun in that?
So that, well, Mike, the fun. Fortunately, Shondell's husband wasn't around to hold her shirt.
Oh, really?
So,
good.
So my wife goes. It's like 1, 2, 3. Oh, we lift her up, and then go doing the cake stand.
And did it come out the nose?
Almost. Because she's down there, and it's a sound of married guys. I'm very used to hearing it. But she goes, no more, no more. So we turn my wife around, and she says, I don't even feel that drunk.
Right.
And then it's time for Shondell.
Right.
And Shondell, that was the highlight. Shondell was already wearing what appeared to be
like a teddy
lingerie.
Yeah. Really?
Now, she had a bra on underneath this, but she was already dressed rather, you know,
provocatively.
Yes, provocatively. Looking for it. Yeah. I mean, she's looking for some action from her husband.
Looking good. Right?
Or maybe from Teresa. I don't know. She's looking for it. But anyway, Shondell is nervous, but Frida's done it, so now it's Shondell's turn.
Mm-hmm.
And while Shondell is being held up by her legs...
Mm-hmm.
Her mother or one of her mother's friends is coming over with a camera, wanted to get a picture of Shondell being held up by her legs on her 40th birthday.
And it's
at that moment that they came out.
Both of them?
At least one of them very
briefly. Hallelujah! Yeah.
Just very briefly, one of them came out, and it's while, and, you know, you won't know unless you go to Shondell's house to look at the pictures. But
I thought you were going to say you won't go unless you go to Shondell.com.
No, it was one of those, though, they came out when the lady was down there taking the picture with the camera.
Fantastic. So there's photographic evidence.
Yeah, and guys were all saying, wow, did you see that?
Yeah.
Right. Did you see it? And Buzz, did you see it?
Yeah. Incredible. Thank you.
So did I.
Yeah.
What a great party.
And then after that...
We had a great time at that party.
They bring Shondell's husband over.
Right.
And now he, he's easy going anyway. Like, I don't think he would be pissed that his wife had just fallen out of her.
Yeah, Russ is a mellow guy.
She was upside down, but everybody's going, Russ. So...
He does it.
He did it too.
Did his D&Bs come out?
No, nothing happened.
Damn.
And then it was shortly after that they realized, well, no one else is going to do this.
Right. They tried to get me to do it, but I felt I'd done enough public drinking already.
Yeah,
you're right. People are still talking about that, Buzz. Especially when they run a best of it on the weekend.
Right. You know, I don't feel comfortable being held up in the air by these guys while I drink. And I said I'd do it if it was like hard liquor.
Uh-huh. I would be concerned at my wake class that that they would have a little trouble holding me up. You know what I mean?
So we pass on that and
drop me on my head.
And then there's more talking as we're getting ready to leave. And
when did all the clothes come off? That's when I. When did everybody just get naked? And
after
start?
We had left, Mike.
I think
really?
So.
After we left. And now here's the last part of the story. That, as I mentioned, to get to this place where Shondell's birthday party was, it was about a 20-minute drive from my house, and Buzz and Marcia came over and picked us up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the way there, it could not have been more simple. And keep in mind, Buzz used to live in the general area that I live in and where this party was being held. Now, it's been a couple of years since he's been there.
Right.
But here's the deal. You leave my house, and you get on a main road.
Mm-hmm.
Route 7.
Mm-hmm. You're the wheelman, Buzz?
Yes, I am.
You follow Route 7 to 28.
Okay.
Where you go towards Dulles Airport.
Yeah.
So you go from one major road to another major road. You make a left-hand turn on 28.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there you go about 7 miles on a six-lane highway with a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. You go to Route 50.
Right.
And there you make a right there, and then you drive a ways, and then there's a big sign saying, turn here, and that's where the party was.
Okay.
So Buzz navigated that perfectly and got us there, and it was, really, it's like three left turns.
Mm-hmm.
And Buzz had lived in this area prior to this.
Okay, all right.
No, you did, Buzz.
Well, all right, sort of.
No, oh, come on. You lived right off 28.
Yeah, that's true.
When you used to live in that apartment complex that Robbie and Carrie lived in.
That's true.
So, lived in. So we're leaving now, and we're all getting in the car, and Buzz is the wheel man, and you think that everybody has a little bit of that old yeller in them, meaning that even...
A homing device.
Yeah, you've just, even though it's a place you've never been to, you just drove there 3 hours ago.
Right.
So you would figure you know how to get back. So as we're leaving the party, we're getting Buzz's car, Buzz says, which way do I go? And so everybody said, okay, you go up to the light and go right. Mm-hmm. When you get to the light, you go to 28 and go left, and then take Route 7.
Yeah,
so as this is going on, as Buzz works his way back to the Route 28, which is the major highway by the airport, we start talking about all the people we've seen and Teresa flipping out.
The dildo, the events of the evening.
The dildo. And
yes, yeah, the cake game.
The keg stands. And I'm actually half turned around, and I'm in the front seat with Buzz, and our wives are in the back. Oh, and incidentally, like lesbo action again, and I am not exaggerating with our wives.
Yeah, shocking, really. They held hands.
They held hands the whole time?
They held hands in the back seat.
And they announced it. They announced it to us.
So they were holding hands?
Yeah. They were holding hands.
No tongues intertwined or anything like that.
It was dark.
Thank God they couldn't see my hand. Dark. So here's Buzz's excuse.
Well, that's probably why Buzz got lost, because you were distracting him.
Speaking of dark. So this is Buzz's excuse. So we're just driving along now. We're on the major highway now.
You're on 28?
On 28. Right.
And you're going in the wrong direction?
No, we're going in the right direction.
All right.
Yeah. He's going past the airport. Things are great at this point. Well, what the hell? He's got one right-hand turn to make, and then he's back on Route 7, and he knows how to get to our house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we go, okay. Turn around. We start talking. We're talking and talking and talking. Mm-hmm. And at one point, my wife said, because I'm looking in the back seat at Buzz's wife and my wife, and I'm looking at Buzz, too, but I'm mainly looking in the back seat. My wife said, we're almost to the outlets. And we looked up. We said, where are we? And it said Leesburg. And those of you who don't know the D.C. area would be interested to know that the exit for the road that Buzz had to take to get us home, which is Route 7, which is the main road that he's driven on a thousand times, and incidentally has a big sign that says Dulles Town Center, and another big sign that says Route 7 Tyson. I mean, you can't miss these signs. He drove past them for approximately 15 miles.
And made really good time.
So you're flying and you're not processing the fact
that... So we get to this point, my wife says, are those the outlets? And I said...
Wait, are you talking about the Leesburg outlets?
Yes.
Like up by 15?
Yes. I'm telling you, it's not like...
Jesus.
I'm telling you, it's not like the guy drove an additional 5 minutes.
Right. You guys must have been really involved in conversation.
Seriously, he drove...
We weren't.
He drove 15 minutes.
You're not talking much, guys.
I'm waiting for my chance to take the stand.
Here's the best part.
Yeah.
So we say to Buzz, where the F are we? This is everybody now. Where the F are we?
Right.
No, nobody told me to turn. And then he says, I never drive as good in the dark.
I see fine, but I don't see landmarks, and I don't see peripherally that well in the dark. Right. It's just dark.
Yeah, it's in the dark. So Frida says, you know, and then Frida's talking at that like Chihuahua speed, with that same turn around. So Buzz right away goes and turns around, and as it turns out, where he's turning around, there's really not a place to turn around. It's
right.
It's like to get off and go off on another road.
Well, if you're up by the outlets, you've been on 7, right?
Yes, he has.
We were on 7.
So that turn down there is really, you take an exit to go on 7, or if you just stay straight, you're going to stay on Route 7, and you're just going to go until you hit Leesburg.
I don't know what happened.
Which he did.
And I've been out there, so I know what you...
So he gets all the way out there, and finally, so we figure out to turn the car around, right? We say, okay, now we got to turn around. And this is where Buzz was, it reminded me a little bit of poker. Shaking hands a little bit, you know. And he did that thing, all guys do this, I do this too. When you want a concert, you got to turn the music down. You know, when you're
driving, absolutely.
Driving the car and you got a concert.
Please, God, let me think.
You turn the music down and everybody's like, okay, make a U-turn, Buzz.
I'm glad you remembered that before you got across the state line.
Where should I make the turnaround?
Turn around at Point of Rocks, right before the Potomac River, and you go into Maryland.
just about anywhere. So finally, Buzz made the turnaround.
That's a lot of local references, but what the heck? People know what I'm talking about.
And then we all just busted his balls. We all
a little bit.
His wife, my wife, me. It was like, what are you doing? You know, we're 15 miles past.
It's not a big deal. Probably cost us 10 minutes. But I will say this in my defense: as we were leaving the party,
I said, you know, you people are going to have to navigate me. Let me also say I had three other conscious adults in the car who didn't notice that we had missed the turnoff.
Right.
Well, and I didn't know. And the other thing
is, you're the driver.
We were in territory I'd never ventured into before, or at least not for a very long time. You guys take a route up there to connect 7 and 28 that Marcia and I never took when we lived in Sterling. We had actually a shorter way. But you guys suggested the other way, so we went that way.
Shorter,
and I'm not familiar with those turnoffs.
The shorter way, which is longer, where you go by the Taco Bell and you go by the CVS.
Yeah, where we go by where we used to live.
Yeah, right. Well, they've built that access road now, so you don't have to do that. You just go
right. But we went like 15, 30 miles out of our way. We could have just cut straight across.
Okay. All right. Now you're going to lose this battle.
Well, okay. Well, then we have to get my wife on the phone also.
Is your wife going to back you up?
Yeah.
No
way.
No,
we've discussed
Rita.
This.
You can leave a message on my cell.
All right. Give me an. Is your wife at home or is she on her cell?
She should be on her cell, maybe at home. Should be at home by now.
All right. Well,
you got the home number?
Yep. We'll find out.
This has been an interesting Monday show. I'd just like to tell everybody in the studio I've been highly entertained all day.
It's no big deal. We're talking about 10 minutes of our lives lost at best.
And each way.
Right.
Hello.
Hey, Marcia, it's Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
We're doing great. So your husband on Saturday night, we understand that you are not one of the bashers when he went the extra 15 miles out to the outlets?
Well, I just know that, you know, that isn't the way we used to go. So if we had taken the shortcut on Sterling Boulevard,
Let me just ask both of you. Why didn't you just do that when you drove past? Because that's a road you drove past.
We suggested it, but you guys strongly suggested that we go the other way. So
we suggested that on the way out.
Right, right.
When we were on the way there, but on the way back home, you could have just taken that turn on your own.
Well, again, like I said, I asked people to navigate me, and no one did, and no one said anything when we went past the exit.
Hey, you know, Mr. Geronimo, you were in the navigator's seat.
Hey, I was just I'm watching your husband, but I appreciate this, playing the role of Tammy Wynette today. Welcome to Stand By Your
Man. I don't want to advocate anything illegal, and I certainly don't want to encourage, there should always be a designated driver in the car, but I really do believe this would have gone a lot better if at least a few more of you had been drinking.
You're probably right.
Yeah, you probably would have zipped right home. It would have been easier.
You think?
Yeah, probably. It's always helped me. It's always helped me when I'm a navigator. I'm an incredible navigator when I'm blasted.
Well, I don't know.
My regret is that I didn't do the keg stand.
I know your only regret.
And it's too late now.
Regret is you didn't do the Frida stand.
Yeah.
You know, you would have liked to.
Yeah, Marcia, tell us about the holding of the hands. Is this this seems to be a pattern that
we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but why? You know, and most couples do that when you go out with another couple. The guy's right in the front and the girl's right in the back.
Yeah.
But why, and even if you want to hold hands, that's okay. But why announce it to Buzz and I?
I didn't announce it. Your wife did.
Oh, my. I'll have to bring that up with my wife then.
We need your wife involved in this discussion.
All right. Well, I don't know where she is. All right. Thanks, Marcia.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there she goes.
So, what are you doing bullying Buzz into taking a route he doesn't want to go?
I'm telling you, it was like being on a Gilligan's Island, like a lost thing.
And that's my dig at you. I've traveled with you, and when it comes to travel, all things travel, it's not a question of stupidity or anything. It's a question of assertiveness. You should have taken the bull by the balls and said, no, we're going this way. It's quicker.
You're right.
So it's like in the next time he rolls his eyes. It's true.
No, you're right. So you think we're stereotyping here, and this is the old guy thing. It's not the old guy thing.
No.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
My man, Magellan.
He made it up.
My buddy. My buddy. I would have died being at that party without Buzz.
Oh, I love the circumnavigation jokes.
I made Mike spit out his
water. Oh, my
God. Buzz?
Yes.
I can't get a hold of Mike, honey. What the hell? You know, she might take your side anyway.
Do you think that's what would happen?
Like it matters.
No.
What is your lead story today, Buzz?
Well, it's like a theme now. Barbara Streisand stands by her man.
Huh? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard about this because Brolin plays... Reagan, like, kind of tarted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least what I heard was that a lot of
now I'm watching.
Not that he plays in tarted, but there's a lot of that mommy all the time.
Mommy. Well, mommy.
Mommy.
Yeah, like, put him in that car and you wouldn't have gotten anywhere.
It's like he was driving, Mike. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say anything, Bud. Right? Yeah. It's like he was driving. Hold on, here's a guy. You got to be quick. A guy who says he got a letter from Redskins about what?
I'm on the waiting list, and the letter starts off saying, with the Redskins looking better than ever, you finally have the opportunity you've waited for to buy season tickets.
Wow.
And there's a note from Spurrier, a personalized note.
What does it say? Please, God, turn back time?
Take the knee! Take the goddamn knee! Well, I'm not going to yell at the boys this week.
I ain't going to do it. I'm just going to tell them how glad they're taking me.
We just got to go out there and pitch a catch. Play a little better ball.
Sure like your wife on Survivor.
Play a little better ball. Hey, everybody, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Where's that girl, Teresa?
Teresa, where is she? Tell her to take a knee.
This has all been very...
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The keynote speakers at the VM Banquet. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, lady soul. It's time for news now with Buzz. Buzz News Show brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it right in. GNC and other select retailers, try it today. Veramax. AAA, try VMAX. Now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Barbara Streisand versus the Republicans again, but this time it's over a made-for-TV movie starring her husband, James Brolin. The CBS miniseries is about Ronald Reagan, and word is it's not a flattering portrait. Reagan fans say she, Barbara, had a hand in that, and they're calling for a boycott of the show and its advertisers.
Now, how come it's okay to say that,
but
it's not okay to say, let's boycott the Redskins this weekend?
Nobody ever said that life was fair, Tina.
What?
We'll get to that point. Now, on her website, Streisand says she hasn't even seen the script, much less the movie, and didn't write a word of it. Quoting her, the Republicans who deify Reagan cannot stand that unpleasant truths might be in the movie. This is what the right wing does when faced with a truth that is not 100% positive for their side.
So, well, what I've heard is that they make it amount to be kind of tardy.
Really?
Late? I don't mean late, Rob. I mean, you know, he's not all there. That there's a lot of this
right.
Mommy, and that she was she had a very strong presence.
Man,
in the White House, and that, you know, she helped him make a lot of his decisions.
Well, that's the truth, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe so.
We thought so. Yeah.
I believe so.
I mean, they were very close, and she was very active in his administration.
Babs goes on to say about the right wingers.
You can't be sure if you haven't checked your administration. Do we have that tape, Rob?
Yeah.
Have that
administrations.
I think it's under H for hookers. It's right over here by us.
I still got it in the.
You can't be sure when you get your ministrations at all.
Yeah, well, Babs says they spread vicious lies and attacks and scream and yell until they get their way, she says, of the right wingers.
You got to check your ministration.
Mm-hmm. You're 2 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your ministration.
There she is, Barbara Streisand.
Now, here's your free speech that you were talking about just in this evening, within the last hour. CBS television president Les Moonves says that the network is thinking about canceling the movie because of the controversy that it has stirred up. And he also says that the movie is now being edited to make it less anti-Reagan.
Oh, that means less fun.
So they're talking about changing the movie. They're talking about not showing the movie this month as originally planned.
What?
Maybe re-edit it and perhaps show it at a later time.
CBS is nuts. They got no problems running a show about Hitler.
Right.
And promoting the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And upset when it doesn't win Emmys and junk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people protested about that.
Mm-hmm.
They were upset. And wouldn't you say, running a movie about Hitler, even if it's done the way that CBS did it,
mm-hmm. probably listen to that protest a little bit more.
A little bit more than people upset that Reagan is shown to be maybe a guy that is goofy.
Mm-hmm. You know, what kills me about that, though, is the fact that, you know, we don't get a chance to make our own decision.
No.
And if that doesn't see the light of day, you wouldn't know. You might come out and see that thing and say, oh, no, it wasn't that bad. It was, right. In fact, it was actually a very nice portrayal. You never know.
I tell you, if you want to see something funny, though, that has to do with these presidents, you got to watch this thing that's on HBO about going on the stumping, whatever they call it, when he's running for president.
The campaign stump?
Yes, Bush. And they got a camera crew that went around with him for the entire...
That was that lady.
Yeah. The entire election. And you got him on his plane flying to the next place, and they're saying, what does he like to eat? And they say, well, he likes peanut butter and jelly, and he likes bologna sandwiches, and he likes Cheetos. And then the next scene is him standing there eating Cheetos with his mouth full of Cheetos. Why you gotta ask me all these hard questions? Why are you always asking me? Why are you always... What are you doing now? When are you going to get... And it was just... It was like 90 minutes of Bush just being the biggest dope in the world.
Well, if you're looking for an outlet for that, I got to tell you something. You've got to watch The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Oh, God, yes.
Because presidential satire, nobody owns it. Like, he deserved the Emmy that he got. He should be in a larger forum instead of Comedy Central, where he's kind of hidden away.
Right.
It is the funniest thing.
How about Middays here?
Middays here. They did a thing where he was, they had the Bush press conference where they're asking about flying onto the aircraft carrier, that big controversial move, right, where he said mission accomplished and they've got the sign. And apparently a press aide or one of the people in the White House said, well, we made the sign, but it was the Navy that hung it up. And Jon Stewart did 15 minutes on this, including, you know, he's got his fake White House correspondent that is just fracturingly funny.
They're
I mean,
great.
It's probably some guy in New York that's in a with a backdrop of the White House.
Yes,
there,
that's what they're
talking about, the fact that, you know, it was the Navy that hung it up. We weren't responsible.
And the backgrounds in those shots are obviously very fake, like weather guys standing in front of the weather map.
That show, I mean, consistently, every second of it is
deserved the Emmy.
So listen, if you got a show about Reagan, but shows him kind of feebed out, and maybe goofing on him, and you know, don't go as far as like show him going, you know, taking a dump in his pants, but if he's sitting at his desk and he's like trying to figure
come on
out,
now
come on, trying to figure out a puzzle or something, and he's mommy, I need some help, and then she comes in and she's kind of a controlling bitchy type woman. Well, those are both caricatures that each of them has kind of embraced over the years.
Well, they did the same thing where they, I don't know whether it was HBO or what, they had a made-for-TV movie about the assassination attempt on President Reagan, and they made them out to be, and I thought it was just poorly done, because it's never all that bad, and it's never all that good.
Right.
The problem was that it was Richard Crenna.
It was Richard Crenna.
It was not.
As Reagan. Wasn't that a horrible movie?
Really bad.
Yeah. Really terrible. You know, they were obviously out to torpedo Reagan, and it was stupid.
And guys, bad. Here's what I say, and then we can hopefully I can have last word on this, because I know his buzz has more news. But I say, let's go to Reagan and ask him what he thinks. If he's okay with it,
right,
then go with it.
You always seem to find the right solutions for things like that.
Just go to
have Les Moonves put a call in.
Say, hey, do you mind if we run this? And then he says something like orange juice, and you say, great, thanks, Ronnie.
That's code for yes.
Right.
Liza Minnelli's soon-to-be ex-husband has found another gravy train. Actually, it's the one he was on before he got married. When David Guest met Liza, he was working on a Michael Jackson concert. It was Jacko who introduced them. Now that the marriage is over, Guest is working on a Michael Jackson documentary without Michael.
This is Liza Minnelli.
Oh.
Don and Mike, how can I say this?
Say it, honey.
Are gay.
Quoting Jacko's people, Michael is in no way whatsoever associated with this project. He didn't approve it. He didn't participate in it. He didn't even know about it. Michael hasn't spoken to David in a long time.
Hello, Michael.
I'd like to stay in your guest cottage.
Oh! This is David Guest.
Hello, Mr. Guest. Michael Jackson. Shalom.
She beat me up again.
Well, don't let her do that to you. You can't let her do that to you. You really can't let her put you through that all the time.
She beat me up again.
Do you know what I need, mister? I need some guest services. Hi, Mr. Peck.
Pope John Paul II is being featured on a U.S. coin for the very first time.
Gregory Peck is dead.
Yes.
Mr. Peck.
He was in the last documentary.
Check with Peck.
He was in the Michael Jackson. He was like riding a merry-go-round or a Ferris.
Right.
It was a Ferris wheel. A merry-go-round. Right. Michael Jackson's...
Mr. Guest?
Kids Never Come Here Ranch. Yeah.
You can come to Neverland anytime you want, and I'll save that special place for you. You know where that is?
Where's that?
The guest room.
Make room for Jeff.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Pope John Paul II is being featured on a U.S. coin for the very first time. It's not real money. It's a collectible. The Morgan Mints just released two limited edition coins that feature the pontiff recognizing his 25 years of leading the Roman Catholic Church. One of the coins...
Pretty much the only thing you can recognize.
Hey, F you, F Paul.
Sorry, Your Holiness.
Oh, yeah, I ain't no Reagan. I tell you that. Let me count. One. I'm done.
One of the coins is a JFK half dollar with Kennedy on one side and the Pope on the other. Kennedy was our first and only Catholic president. The other coin is a silver eagle dollar with the Pope on the head side.
Yeah.
And I'm pantless.
Thank you, Mr. Guest.
I'm the Pope. Mr. Guest is dead, faggot.
Thank you, Shimon.
God hates you, Michael Jackson.
Stop it, Your Holiness. Stop it.
The Episcopal Church, meanwhile, has...
Get Ronald Reagan on the phone. I just crapped my pants again.
No. Me too.
Burn your Redskins tickets. This is the Pope ordering all Catholics to burn your Washington Redskins tickets.
This is a show recap. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
The Episcopal Church...
Here is not your friend.
But you are. The Episcopal Church...
Are you talking to me or
yes,
the Pope?
You are Teresa's friend.
Me?
Yes.
Oh,
me too.
Yeah.
I love her.
The Episcopal Church has just consecrated its first openly gay bishop. It could tear the church apart. One conservative archbishop says... This
is it
will
Jason?
No, not that bishop.
It's not Jason Bishop?
How come he ain't on TV?
One conservative archbishop says this will have very serious consequences for the cohesion of the American communion.
Mr. Guest?
Quoting one church member, if this consecration goes forward, the Anglican fabric will be torn.
Yes, I'm back, Michael. It's me, David Guest.
Can I see your special guest star?
But only a handful of people protested outside the consecration ceremony.
Let him in.
Of the 4,000 people inside, only 3 came forward to object. Quoting one minister who said he was speaking for 3 dozen others, we are forbidden to judge persons, but we are allowed to judge behavior.
I want to be an Episcopalian.
Be my guest.
Thank you, Mr. Guest.
Put your magic to the test.
Shimon.
Be my guest.
70-year-old actor Robert Blake will stand trial for murder alone.
How you doing, Bobby?
I don't know, man. They're Why? Just all their brothers, their fathers, they're all come on out against me, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not me. I'm dying. I'm sitting here in my orange jumpsuit, and life just sucks.
You still got that bird, though?
I got the cockatoo right. Yeah, listen, I'm talking to the radio guy. Don't make me have to be... There you go. All right, it's dead. I think it's dead. Maybe... No, it's coming back to life.
Resilient.
Take that. Take that. That. That is a doornail. Fetters all over the place.
Ain't you dead yet? Damn it.
For cockamamie bird.
The judge has ordered the charges that were filed against Blake's bodyguard, and she's dropped the conspiracy charges against both men.
I'm sharing a cell with David Guest.
That's a setback for prosecutors who had built their case on a murder kit theory. They'd accused the actor and his bodyguard of drawing up a shopping list that included Drano and duct tape. Prosecutors now have 3 weeks to try to convince the judge to change her mind about her latest rulings. The good news for Blake, what little there is that he'll get back the $1 million he posted for the bodyguard's bail. CBS will air an interview with the Emmy winner next week.
That's right. Don't forget the fact that I got that gold statue. I got that right there, and they're using it on me in the prison.
Oh, your Emmy?
Oh, yeah, man. They want to see my star.
The year was young when...
This is Alec Baldwin.
Hey, Alec, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I used to do the same thing with the Oscar with my wife, my ex-wife, Kim Basinger.
Yeah, but it's a hell of a lot more painful. That's a pointy trophy with a big globe on the end of it. Flame Angel.
Oh, that's right. I used to F my wife with her Oscar. You're talking about the common Emmy.
Yeah, the Emmy. I tell you, I hear the angels sing when they do that to me.
The year was young when legendary music producer Phil Spector was arrested following the murder of a B-movie actress in his Hollywood mansion. It's now November, and Spector still hasn't been charged with the murder, even though detectives have concluded that he did it. Bail for the 60-year-old icon has now been extended for a second time, now good through January 9th.
I don't want to test me more of that or this Redskins thing.
Yeah,
right. Stay tuned, Buzz.
All right.
And hi, Teresa. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you go. Who likes this song? How about
Buzz likes this song.
Yeah, yeah. Just talking about yourself in third person,
yeah.
Buzz. You like this
even
song.
Even better than a titty bar.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Introducing Average Joe.
Indiana wants me. Average Joe. They're ugly.
Charlie.
They're ugly, Don.
I know. They're ugly fat guys.
With a pretty lady. Average Joe.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
When Joe.
When Democratic presidential hopeful Howard Dean asks for your vote, he's asking you to overlook a couple of things. Like his privileged preppy upbringing, the drunken behavior of his youth, and his occasional petty theft. These are all confessions found in Dean's book, Winning Back America. But he'd also like you to know those things are in his past, long past. Dean says that after he got married, quote, I quit drinking. When I drank, I would drink a lot and do outrageous things. I realized what was funny when you're 18 is not very funny when you're 30.
Well, I listened to his brother. Jimmy.
Great song.
Now, not James.
Right.
You know, not,
I know, right.
His case, but Jimmy. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Dean.
But Jimmy Dean knows what's going on.
Jimmy Dean.
It's like his sister Deborah.
With good sausage.
Hold on, Buzz, hold on. I see we have a call from Stupidville.
Oh, dear.
On the line. Right. At least that's what it says on the screen.
Jim. Near Leesburg?
You got that one here? It's from Stupidville? Okay. Hello, Mary.
Yeah, hi. Beverly Farmer isn't doing the traffic tonight. It's some guy, and he's calling himself Shondell Riddle.
Imagine that.
Really?
Wow, that's crazy.
How do you think that happened?
It's somebody from CBS playing a goof.
I guess so.
We're taking our faces.
I guess so.
I guess the riddle is, how did this happen?
Hey, now, listen, you got to appreciate about this about us, that this is self-editing. Now, we've taken the call, we've made the point,
mm-hmm.
but that's it. That's where the interrogation, the torture ends.
That's right.
Oh, is it somebody in your studio doing the traffic tonight?
No, I don't think you need to worry about that, but you need to go warm up your TV set because Average Joe's coming on.
Who is?
All right, now I'll explain this to you. You see, Shondell Riddle is Shondell Barton, and she's the lady. Riddle is her maiden name.
Right.
She's the lady that had the 40th birthday party that worked here that started all the problems with all the stuff with the weekend.
Talked about it on today's show.
So I told the guy who's filling in for the lady doing the traffic mm-hmm. that it would be funny to have a guy use a girl's name, and it would be Shondell Riddle, but I didn't think that anybody quite so dense would not get the fact that it was a joke.
Because the name Shondell, not the last name. The last name was for us, but the first name was, for everybody that was.
That's kind of an inside joke for people who really, get the show. And trust me, you got to have an IQ of about room temp to get the show. Okay?
I got it, but I thought somebody from the traffic center was goofing on
right.
you guys.
No.
Never happened.
No. We are the goofers. We are never the goofies.
You know what's great about this call is she thought it came down from, like, CBS corporate.
Yes.
Playing a joke.
Well, who would know that, Rob?
It came from Les Moonves.
It did.
Absolutely. Mary, thanks for looking out for us.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye.
Hold on, Mary, hold on. You deserve something.
No.
She does.
You deserve something.
I think she does.
How about a pile of warm snot?
Hey.
No.
Mary, you've won the Sopranos, the complete fourth season DVD box set.
Oh, terrific. back.
That's great. That's terrific. Yeah. You're right. It's from on DVD and VHS, The Sopranos.
Great. Thank you so much.
Enjoy.
Enjoy it.
It's funny when Rob really hates.
Yeah. Rob, that's what he really hates.
Rob is standing about a half an inch from me. He's just making
like sticking his C, yeah. Like putting it an inch and a half away from your face.
Why must you reward that?
I've never seen anyone hate with their hands before.
Rob, the thing is, listen, it said on the screen, I already announced, the woman's calling from Stupidville.
Sure.
You've already said that. She's a loyal listener. Let's give her a prize.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And technically, if you're going to be technical, it was an inside joke. It was an inside joke. See?
Fire has damaged the South Carolina home of a man known as Radio.
Oh, the retarded guy with goofy teeth.
56-year-old James Kennedy, who is mentally disabled, is the subject of a current movie. The movie's about how he became an inspiration for his local high school football team and later for the town itself.
Don and Mike, this is Jim Nance from CBS Sports.
Radio was something that they criticized it, and I was so mad.
Oh, my God. Radio, it's me, Jim Nance. I'm here to save you.
I'm Superman. I'm going to take you out, get all your stuff out here, my radio buddies, Don and Mike.
I'm going to grab onto your big, retarded, goofy toothies. Radio, can you hear me?
Come out on my shoulders, Radio. You'll be fine.
Who is that? Nancy James?
Thank you, my radio buddies, Don and Mike. Jim Nance, CBS Sports.
Friday night, actually early Saturday morning, fire engulfed Radio's bedroom.
Oh!
There's a breaker box.
Radio, Jim Nance.
Got my radio buddies, Don and Mike.
My radio buddies, Don and Mike.
Check your smoke detector radio. It's a great weekend in South Carolina, guys.
Got him out of there just in time to make a donation. Thank you very much.
There's a circuit breaker box in Radio's bedroom that an electrician had just worked on that week.
No, he's not retarded.
Well,
the fire destroyed Radio's room, but caused only minor damage to the rest of the house, which he shares with his family.
Radio, this is Jim Nance. I'm going to get my lawyers on the case. You got a good case here. You can sue. Sue. Susu Studio.
Ever the hero, it was Radio who awoke his family and got them out safely.
Way to go, Radio!
There you go. That's a good turn.
Jim Nance would like that story.
He'd love that story. I'll bet he mentions it this week. The more...
Do you think video killed a radio star?
That's old. That's old. My radio buddy's Don and Mike.
The more supersized sandwiches they make, the more supersized coffins they make. American Undertakers have started offering larger coffins for an increasingly fat population of dead people.
Oh, dear.
They say the trend toward bigger cadavers started 30 years ago and just keeps getting bigger.
Bigger.
A casket company in Indiana says it would sell about one triple-sized coffin a year back in the 1980s.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Beat you to the punch on that one.
I was going to say, did you ever suck the embalming fluid out of a cadaver?
Triple-sized coffins, they'd sell one a year back in the 1980s. Now they sell five of them every month.
Wow.
Whereas your standard casket is 24 inches across on the inside, and the fat ones are 44 inches, and will hold up to 700 pounds without, quote, losing their integrity. But they say this still leaves the problem of needing bigger vaults to put the caskets into and bigger holes in the ground
cremation,
to hold the bigger vault.
Cremation.
I'm all for bigger holes.
And to take bigger fires. A favorite masked crime fighter is coming back to the big screen.
Not Batman.
Not Batman. No. Not Superman. Or Spider-Man. It's Zorro again.
Zorro!
Oh, I hope it's Zorro the Gay Blade. That is such a great movie.
It is great.
George Hamilton.
I love that movie.
It's not that at all. It's Antonio.
Go ahead. Give the line from that movie that you like to do.
2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a dollar. Oh, like Zorro, stand up and holler!
Antonio Banderas is in talks with Sony to repeat his role as the swashbuckling swordsman. Sony's also talking with Catherine Zeta-Jones again. Anthony Hopkins may be on board as well. Production set to begin next spring.
Sword fighting.
There is not quite like sword fighting.
How you doing, Antonio?
I'm okay, son. How you doing? My career is hot. Super hot. Don't forget it.
What?
My career is hot. Super hot because of my fantastic sword fighting.
It's hot.
Don't forget that, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Hi, Teresa.
In sports, the Patriots visit Denver tonight on Monday Night Football.
I know.
Finally, you're naked, and a couple of dozen high school girls in uniforms are chasing you.
Now, wait, what? Are you following me around this weekend? What's the deal?
I think I'm reading your mind here. But for a 25-year-old Philadelphia man, it was more of a nightmare than a fantasy. He had been exposing himself, flashing the girls outside their Catholic high school. He'd done it several times, so one day last week, the girls were ready for him. 20 of them chased him down.
Tim Sabian!
Chased him down, tackled him, and began to punch and kick him. The young man now faces more than a dozen criminal charges and memories to last a lifetime.
Oh,
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Buzz.
Naughty Buzz.
Why?
Nothing. Great job. We learned you good.
Oh, God.
That's it. We'll see you tomorrow with the new episode.
Thanks for the tongue cleaner, Buzz.
You bet. Burning of the tickets on the show tomorrow. The WWE Survivor Series. We'll tell you how we'll give that away. All the stuff we didn't get to today.
Who's watching Average Joe?
Get to know Charlie.
Funny.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Don.
And you.
I'll see you in the Game Show Network chat room.
Okay, that is weird, Rob.
BM.
Eaters.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.